Attention.
Yeah.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Hero. Yeah. He came into the office today. He's a funny man.
He is a funny man.
Our engineer, Tony Diggs. I was sitting in the office visually undressing Beth Ann McBride.
Who can blame you there?
That's everyday thing.
Only visually today?
Really?
Only visually. Hold on. Making pretend.
Yes. Making grand pretend. Happy birthday, B.A.
Oh, I didn't know.
Nobody did.
Nobody knew. But
nobody did.
We do now. How old are you?
She's 38, Mike.
Does he believe that?
Yeah, I do.
It's a good age.
Is there some reason I shouldn't behave that? Believe that?
You just gave me my gift, Mike.
I'm serious. I think.
Come on.
Really, how old do you think she is?
I, when you said 30, I figured she was just shy of 40. That's what I figured.
All right. Who wants to get it?
Of course, she does have the older child, though.
It's on the north side of the Highway 40.
Can't be more than 39, then.
Buzz. This is Buzz, you know, forging ahead.
Trouser
smooths, Beth Ann sweepstakes.
Still all hot from his conquest of Clem's mom.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you know what? Now I have a memory, though. When you came to work for us, you were like our same age, right?
Right.
You're
right.
Old. Yeah. We'll just say that.
You're old like we are.
Happy birthday, Beth Ann. You're old like we are.
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, I'll make sure that your gift is delivered before the end of the show.
Like you always do.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, don't hide your birthday, Beth Ann.
Okay, well.
Oh, you know, we should have a celebration for it.
Well, we can't have the celebration like before where we'd have a bunch of...
Yeah, I know.
Someone should at least send in a cake.
A bunch of those dancers in. You know what would be nice today if we could get this going outside, maybe? Because the weather's not bad.
No, it's actually the first mild day of the week.
Maybe we could get a bunch of young men to come down and make one of those human pyramids for Beth Ann. And maybe
that'd be great.
They could all just take their shirts off.
Oh, not naked, though. Not like a Lindy England pyramid.
No, but then she could go out there and do the Lindy in front of them.
Would you like a shirtless pyramid for your birthday, Beth Ann?
No.
Oh, come on.
I really don't want that.
I heard yes.
What would make your birthday miracle come true?
Absolutely. Wonderful question.
Besides your raise.
What?
Besides your raise.
That would be a miracle.
The first miracle was if you didn't do anything about it at all.
No.
Well, now what is the problem?
No. This is the land of weird with you again.
She was really uptight today. I was on the telephone with her, and she said, hold on a second. I've got to...
I was driving. I got to
park the car. She says, hold on, talk to Jennifer. I got to back into the space. And then her daughter picks up, Jen, and she says, hi. Did you know it's my mom's birthday?
Good for her.
Yeah.
And then I hear Beth Ann going. and then all I heard was the sound of flesh on flesh.
Yeah.
Bone on flesh.
Bone on flesh.
Bone cracking.
Mom! I've never laid a hand on that child.
Were you parking at Party City? Get all kinds of party favors?
Oh, absolutely.
Probably at Petco. Because wouldn't you have the dog?
The
you
dog have, with the party hat?
The dog would be celebrating your birthday because you love the dog more than your daughter.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. You love them equally.
Right.
You know, I shouldn't even bother asking this question, but I will anyway. Are you planning on doing anything to celebrate your birthday tonight?
I think Jennifer is going to make something for dinner. But, I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm really quite a simple person. I don't want a big deal about anything.
How about this?
How about she makes you a nice prosthetic?
An artificial leg or something?
Well, I was thinking a little smaller than a leg.
Oh, a toy.
Yeah.
She makes her a toy.
Well, you shouldn't have your daughter do that.
No.
That would be inappropriate.
I'm just thinking of something that I think Beth Ann gets some use out of.
Will you entertain another question, Beth Ann?
That'd be a wonderful gift.
I will entertain another question, Rob.
Anyone in the office that knew about your birthday? Anyone at all?
Nope, not even Jonathan. I almost told him this morning, but I didn't.
Not even Clementine?
Nope.
Wow.
Oh, and Mike.
Yeah.
Clementine Tran.
Yeah, very sad.
Yesterday, her appearance on the show was the final appearance. She quit.
She quit right after that.
Who even noticed?
Beth Ann, she didn't quit because of that, did she?
No.
Okay, just checking.
If anything, she's been here as long because of you guys.
Oh,
sure. Wow. Sure she has.
Well, you know, it's an exciting opportunity. She's going to start a business with her husband.
Laundry?
Rob.
That's their second choice.
No, it's Chinese takeout.
Oh, very good.
Chinese takeout.
Maybe they could get a job with those cats, those alarm clocks.
Well, then she could actually be
super terrific.
She could start a restaurant with the name Pho on it. That's a Vietnamese reference.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd include the real.
Is that what that
Asian
means when you see
Pho? I believe Pho is Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm. And if it's FAUX, it means fake.
faux, like faux fur.
So if it was faux, it really wouldn't be Vietnamese.
How about faux, though? You make Vietnamese and French.
Yes!
With artificial ingredients.
Number after three, faux.
What?
What?
Number after three, it's faux.
Oh. In the south. Hey,
hello there, yeah. Beth Ann.
Wow.
It am almost 4 o'clock.
Are you 44?
Yes, I am.
44.
Oh, you're 44 today.
She am 44. She double four.
I would not have guessed that.
How about some shots?
A shot of...
Well, I know we've got booze for the
penicillin. Formula 44.
If you have the penicillin, then you'd be safe to call Jonathan.
How about a shot of B12?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Would you really like for your birthday a shot of B12?
No.
Why? How would you like some Botox? I mean, I don't ask because I think you need it. I just ask because it's what I think all the girls want.
It's very good. For
what would you like for your birthday? I'm sure we're powerful men. We can make things happen.
Must be something.
Chocolates, nylons?
Not really.
What would you like?
I don't want anything.
How about a day of beauty here in the studio?
How about we all chip in and buy you something like a vacuum cleaner or something?
Yeah, I would like microdermabrasion.
You would like what?
Microdermabrasion.
Facial, but it's a little more.
She ought to get this.
Hey, maybe by paying for her to be in the fantasy football, you've already given her birthday gift.
Rob never lets that go.
I love your mind, man. I really do.
Happy birthday.
He's right now.
But do you really want this face burning, peeling thing? Is that what you'd like for your birthday?
It's the burning, peeling thing. It's the little thing where they like. Vacuum your face with little crystals.
Vacuum your face.
Hey,
bitch. Yeah.
Hey, whatever you do with the vacuum is okay with me.
If it's abrasion, though, don't they, like, sand it down?
Yeah, it's that.
What do you need that for?
You want to have
because
your...
Because you believed I was 44. I want to look like, you know...
So you want to have your... Excuse me, I seriously thought it was 38.
And you still kind of old.
You want to have your face sandpapered?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
You want dermabrasion?
Right.
Chicks love
I'm
it.
Sure that there's somebody listening right now that does
it. I don't know how much it is, but that's what Jennifer was going to give me for my birthday, but it was going to... I told her not to do that.
That's good. Daughters should not be buying elective procedures for their mommies.
Can't you just wash your face with lava?
What?
Doesn't lava have that kind
hummus,
of...
Hummus, yeah.
Hummus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't... I, you
hummus
can,
the stuff you put on a like crackers?
And you, no, that's hummus. And you can buy lava like at the grocery store, right?
Yeah, you can buy the big tubs of it.
Yeah, no, I think we'll get you this face peeling.
You're going to give me something I'm going to have to do myself?
No, listen, we'll get you this day of face peeling.
Get her a rasp.
If this is what you'd like for your birthday.
A peel.
Yes, we'll give you a peel.
It's not the peel.
No.
It's where they... You know what I'm talking about, Buzz, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's a good scrubbing.
A good scrubbing.
Yeah.
And
well, how long have I said,
know she would love this.
How long have I said that since the girl's been working here?
That's right.
That what she really...
is a good scrubbing.
It's a good scrubbing. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I would like.
Hey, would you do it in the studio?
No.
What if they set up, like, the table?
Because I would need a good scrubbing to get in there. And then a good scrubbing coming back out.
Oh, wait, hold on. Are you talking about scrubbing everywhere?
No.
No, just my face.
No, you don't want to put dermabrasion down there.
No.
Just your face.
Ooh.
When it's over, will your face be smaller because they've taken off a layer?
You're sucking the life out of me, Ralph.
All right, well, listen, Buzz, if you understand whatever this is that Beth Ann likes.
Thank you, Buzz.
Find out what it is, and we'll find out, a couple of ways to split the cost.
It can't cost that much. I'll cover it.
Buzz, who do you use?
I haven't yet, but maybe I'll order two.
Buzz, well, that'll be fun. We can go together.
There you go. Happy birthday to you, Beth Ann.
Thank you, Buzz.
Buzz is guided by Sherpas up in the mountains of the Himalayas.
Oh, now look, Beth Ann. All the guys in your thong club are calling now.
Sure. Okay.
Hello, David.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Beth Ann, congratulations. Here's your gift. Get a sandpaper off a layer of your skin. How is that?
Oh, it feels good.
Mm. Yeah.
I look better already.
David.
Hey, guys. I called about two things. One, happy birthday, Beth Ann.
Thank you, David.
I got a question for you.
Yes?
You remember about 10 years ago, your sister-in-law had a baby at Potomac Hospital?
I think that's where it was. Yeah, my ex-sister-in-law, yes.
Yeah. Well, you remember the nurse, Tammy?
The what?
The nurse Tammy. Do you remember the nurse Tammy, Mike?
No, I honestly say I can't remember the nurse.
My girlfriend had a baby last week, and she was our nurse, and she mentioned you and said that she was the nurse when your ex-sister-in-law had the baby.
Well, that's nice. And after 10 years, if people are still remembering.
Did she mention that Mike touched her?
In the delivery room.
No, I mean, Mike, as you touch everyone.
Yeah.
It touched in the heart.
Touched, yes, touched her.
Touched.
I moved her.
You've all been touched.
I moved her deeply, but after 10 years, that's good. Ask her if she does dermabrasion.
Thank you. Goodbye, David.
Thank you.
It was a guy calling for you, Beth Ann.
After 10 years. How about that?
B.A.?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Here, let me there just get go. That last little spot right there.
Hold on, Ann.
Okay.
There we go.
We're going to relieve some of the pressure now. Now, right between the nose and the cheek,
Beth, and you are going to look so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
Yeah, now take a look at the floor next to you.
Look what came off.
Wow. Gonna have to sweep up.
Look what sloughed off.
Well, happy birthday, B.A.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Here she goes.
Birthday girl.
She is the model of self-deprivation.
38. McBride. 38 and counting. B.A. McBride.
Will there be anything she does for herself to bring her pleasure?
I think.
I mean that in a very general way.
Oh, I know you do, but I think in a specific way.
That
as well. That too, Brute.
It concerns me.
Truly does.
Oh, now she's not going to pick up?
See what happens to me when you tell them it's my birthday?
Bad daughter, bad daughter.
Beth Ann?
Yeah?
Are you going to be able to find some pleasure on this day?
I have already asked. What kind of pleasure are you talking about?
Pleasure that would be above and beyond your normal happiness.
Your normal amount of pleasure that you would derive from working with two of the most handsome and talented men in the world.
I couldn't imagine having any more pleasure than that.
Oh, certainly you must, though, darling. When you retire.
Right.
For the evening.
Mm-hmm.
To your palatial Fairfax estate.
Will there be, you know, oils, bath oils, anything?
Pleasures of the flesh.
Will you have a celestial seasonings tea?
That thing with the beast.
What? Oh, the beast with two backs?
Yes.
Making the beast with two backs?
Do you have someone to make the beast with two backs with you?
I don't even know what that means, but I think the answer is no.
I think somebody has to hip Jonathan to the fact that it's B.A.'s birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, I feel bad. He'll be a little hurt that I didn't tell him.
Well, he's got plenty of time, and we got a whole show to do.
Plenty of time to go out and buy some white cuffs and a white collar.
Absolutely.
No shirt.
Yeah, he can make it up to you tonight.
I'm putting
on a
hat.
I don't think I'd want to see Jonathan without a shirt on.
You what?
I don't think I'd want to see Jonathan without a shirt on.
What man here would you like to see without a shirt on?
Paul Gorgie.
He's strikingly handsome, but I
don't always, like, love him. I love his wife.
Does it rhyme with Bat the Engineer?
What?
Yeah, come on. You like Matt the new engineer too, don't you?
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, and now I've had to be mean to him because people think that.
Oh,
I've
really?
Actually said, get away. I've actually shoot him out of my office.
Yes. Hasn't he been all hands with you?
He's all hands with everybody. He's hands with you.
I mean, really, the fan told me the other day that she had to say to him, like, don't step in front.
I go, here is my aura, and you are stepping into it. And yeah. I had to put my hands way
out.
Yeah,
he's one of the, and he's a starer. First of all, he stares, and he gets into your personal space.
Yeah,
but
real
he,
close.
Listen, he might be just what the doctor ordered on the lady's birthday night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You might want a little touchy-feely for the big 4-4.
Just for the evening.
I'm fine. I'm good.
All right.
But thank you.
Well, I think this is an alert to all the guys that work here, that know B.A., that care for her.
That's
right. That want to care for her.
That's right. Andrew.
Jonathan.
Matt, mm-hmm. The engineer.
Cardi Limon.
Tony Diggs. J-Dubs.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
How about that? You could have a Mrs. Robinson thing with J-Dubs.
Absolutely. And, of course, the aforementioned Paul Gorgie.
Would you entertain any of the young roughies that work here?
If they said,
possible suitors?
If they came up to you and said, hey, baby, it's your birthday, we're taking you out to, you know, for an after-dinner drink. How would you feel?
I'd say, okay, let me drive. I'll follow you. And they look in the rear view, I'd be gone.
So you would not go out with one of the younger men?
No, you can't. We all work together.
But they have more stamina.
You can go out with coworkers.
I have a lot of stamina.
You can go out with coworkers.
Yeah, that's allowed.
Yeah,
that's not violating CBS policy.
I prefer not to.
And if you're approached by all those guys, if you don't want to drive, you can always take the train.
Remember, you learned that one last week on the show.
Yes, because I'd ask you what it meant.
Choo-choo.
Well, I think if you go out with all those guys, they might ask you to pull it.
I explained that to her.
Yeah, he did.
What it means to pull the train.
Pull the train.
Pull the train.
Okay.
Pull a train.
Well,
happy
birthday to you, Beth Ann.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We should get some candles.
Yeah, we should.
Some frosting.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking like sensual candles.
No, I'm thinking like birthday candles.
Well, then let's get the kind that she blows out and relights.
Those are funny.
Those are always a guaranteed laugh.
That kills me.
Hey, Mike?
Yes? Oh, here we go.
Hello.
Hi.
And a new way to play the game today.
Very exciting.
Out of four groaners, what percentage of groaners came from Rob Spiewak?
Excellent.
For instance, if you think one came from Rob, you would say 25%.
Mm-hmm. I get percentages.
What actor has bladder control issues?
Which actor?
Johnny Depp ends.
Is 25%.
Yeah.
So you think.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Yeah.
And don't forget, if you do happen upon the right percentage, you must have the right material to go with the percentage.
Very good.
Okay.
Hello, this is Scott Shedd.
And I'm Mildred Drysdale. Hi, Steve Justice.
Say hi to a special lady, Beth Ann McBride.
Oh, yes, she's double fours today.
What was the number one movie over the weekend in Saudi Arabia?
Which one?
Hide and Chic. What holy book do rappers read?
Which one?
The Bling James Bible. And who was the most popular TV host in Mexico?
Who?
Juan Icarza.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Juan Icarza.
Wow.
All right, so you've got...
Let's
get retarded. You've got Johnny Depp-ends.
Right.
Hide and Chic. Bling James Bible,
right.
Juanny Carson. Again, it's the percentage game today, and then once we get past the percentage, we'll let you know if you can continue. Michael, we'll start with you today.
50% based on... Oh,
these are already. Buzz.
25% Deaf Ends.
Robbie? Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, Mike was right. It is 50%.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Buzz?
Yes.
Mike.
50% depends and Juanny Carson.
Wow.
Oh, yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, oh, I haven't had a score like that in a while.
Your money.
Thank you.
They all suck so bad.
That's true.
I lost my place in the show, and Rob read them to me this morning, and I played the game with him in the morning on the telephone.
Just like Johnny would do.
Best of my knowledge, Rob boycotts the Bling Joe.
here. Not funny.
Right, just like Dave and Johnny. Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there, Julia. Hi.
Hello.
This phone number,
you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
We are. Here he is.
My true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
I hope you all said rabbit today.
Oh, that's right.
You're screwed.
I said birthday. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Duck Sauce and all the ships at sea. Remember, having Don and Mike every day to listen to is a luxury.
Right, Dave.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, John Kerry. Hi, Bernie. Hello. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Toby.
Hi, everybody. Let's get retarded. Don and Mike show. New episode of this Tuesday, 02-01.
Hi, Don and Mike.
05.
Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
And running in, getting retarded. Thank you, Buzz. And Don and Mike show, a new episode, February 1st.
National holiday.
2005. Our phone number, 877-365-3636. From anywhere in America, from Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. In Washington, D.C., on JFK. JFK!
Yeah!
Call 202-432-1067. Yeah, and rabbit. Mm. It's got to be the first thing that you say when you wake up in the morning. I know every month there are people who call with variations of this, but the correct superstition is rabbit.
Now, is it the first thing you say? Can you get up, say, do your business, brush your teeth without saying anything?
Yes.
And then, okay, so that's the rule.
Yes. Now, I, because I'm crazy, actually put a post-it note last night on the vanity in the bathroom.
Right.
With rabbit, just in case I didn't remember by the time I went to brush my teeth.
Did you need the post-it note, or did you say it anyway?
No, and here's the thing. When I woke up, I think, like 6:17, I looked up at the, we got the thing that projects the time on the ceiling.
Right.
I looked up and go, and before I even went, I just went, rabbit.
Because I didn't even need the post-it.
Because I'm such a moron. Right. But that I'm whispering that so as not to wake up my wife. Going,
of course.
Rabbit.
But now you will cruise through the month of February.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's worked out so great for me. And every other the previous month, and then when Frida finally, when Lady Frida wakes up, because I was still just laying there, she says, oh, rabbit, you know, did you say it? I said, of course, said it. It's mine, said it. It's going to be my month.
You rarely miss it now.
Yeah, I know, and my life still sucks. So I think it's pretty much a worthless superstition.
I think I hear you have better luck if you say it like Elmer Fudd does. So if you go, wabbit.
Hello, Larry.
Beth, this is for you. Happy birthday.
Hold on.
Her name is not Beth.
Beth Ann.
Oh, excuse me, Beth Ann. Here we are. Beth Ann, I was thinking about you today, because today is your birthday, and I'm here to say you are so very nice you didn't know the price of the microduma brazen you had asked for. Have a birthday, Beth Ann McGraw.
Okay, you know, that was going nowhere. That guy thought he was on American Idol.
Yeah, it was sounded like American Idol.
So, okay, that's great. Goodbye. American Idol is on tonight. I'll watch it
because
I'm an idiot. I think I've already stated that, and you already know that.
Where are they going tonight?
Orlando. Orlando and somewhere else bad. Like maybe Charlotte. I'm not sure. Not that Charlotte's bad.
No.
Right now, Jacksonville is bad.
Jacksonville's terrible.
Charlotte is not bad. Last night on 24... Boy, is that show good with the shoot-em-ups and all the crazy shoot-em-ups and the situations.
I was watching it last night, and I was thinking to myself, during every episode, every season, if you added them all up, how many guys has Jack Bauer whacked in his career?
He kills a guy every other episode, and
sometimes massive
amounts of guys. As we were watching last night, there's all kinds of stuff you can do when you watch 24. You can check and see how often they change their clothes, because it's only supposed to be one day, but they come up with reasons for Jack Bauer and all these other people to change their clothes.
Yes.
And then, I need a designer jacket. I mean, Freddie said to me last night, why is William Devane's beard growing in so quickly if it's only been 24 hours?
William Devane did not look well last night.
Well, he's playing a guy who's been held by terrorists.
Yeah, he's haggard. And
how come they didn't take out his big fake teeth when they were terrorizing him? And the family, whatever the family is that for lack of a better slanderous term, I'll just say the Arab family, because I don't know their name, but the terrorist family that appear to be from the Middle East.
Right. Mildly from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Would you not agree?
Yeah.
They seem to be, I guess they were worried about the slander accusations from perhaps anti-defamation groups. It seems to me they have a very mellow looking, they don't look necessarily really Middle Eastern.
The script said they were from Turkey.
Originally.
But what I love is in the beginning of the show when all the characters' names come up, Jack Bauer and everybody else, that they just come up as like the Adams family or whatever their name is. And I think Buzz mentioned to me, he called this, my wife said the same thing last night, that they're going to make the terrorist kid the hero to get all these groups off of their backs.
Oh, really?
Don't you think so?
Well, he is kind of a hero already. I mean, he's the one that's screwing up their plans. That's fantastic. I do like the fat guy that's the computer nerd.
And for anybody who watched the show last year, you'll love this queer moment that I had. When Jack Bauer said, I've got to call the one person that I can trust. And at the end, it was Tony, whose name I remembered for some reason.
Right. Why is Tony on the outs anyway? What happened? I didn't watch last year.
Well, it was last year. He was
kicked out of the group, right?
He was shot, and he was married to the moon pie face girl.
Right, and he just stepped down because he was shot, right?
Well, he was He compromised something about her safety. He compromised the mission to save the moon pie-faced girl.
So he's considered a traitor, and he's on the run, but now he's back to help.
But I'm watching that. Like, I said,
it's beyond the soap opera when you talk about it.
I said, Frieda, I said, hey, it's Tony.
Yeah, we all did that.
I swear to God, like, I know the guy.
Tony was on two seasons ago, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because I recognize Tony from two. I didn't watch it that much last year.
And you say, hello, old friend.
Old friend to come back and save Jack.
Jack's incredible, though. I mean, he looks up at the security monitors, and he knows, why isn't that guy at his desk?
You know they're coming to get him.
I may have discovered the 24 drinking game, which is anytime anybody uses the word time in the show. Because maybe six times last night, Jack Bauer said, I don't have much time. We don't have much time. How much time do we have? I need more time. There are like 1,000 references to time in every episode.
I like that idea. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it might be a good drinking game.
See, here's the thing, though. Why not just do what I do? Just drink. I mean,
don't be restricted by a show.
You don't have to wait for a moment to come up.
Well, this way. Say you pour yourself your adult beverage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then when Jack says, or anybody else on the show, says time, you simply take a little sip.
No.
And find out if you accelerate your regular pace.
Or might drink more?
If you drink right now, if you drink less, then you might have a problem.
Yeah, a bad game then.
Hold on, here is Jeremy with news about Jack Bauer.
Oh, good.
Jack's back. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, if you go to IMDb, they have how many people Jack's killed actually in the first two seasons.
Oh, how
they
many?
They don't include them.
All right, how many people?
I think it's like 50.
5-0?
5-0.
Oh, I think he's done more than that.
Period.
Well, first two seasons, that might be about right.
Yeah, I think so, because if you think, like, when he was at that big dam thing last year where it all went down, that big dam thing, which is, thank you for the call. He would just pick off snipers every once in a while.
Right.
Reminds me, I loved a name drop.
Okay.
I was talking with my good friend, James Brown from Fox NFL Sunday.
JB!
No, something about the Super... God damn, now I forgot what it was.
Was James Brown talking to you about something?
Yes.
Are they going to do something in conjunction with the Super Bowl for 24?
It had nothing to do with that. Now, it'll come back to me.
Okay. Was it an excellent question?
That is an excellent question. I don't remember.
Oh, really? All right.
I didn't even write it down in my notes. What's wrong with me?
But it was a good show last night, and of course the mother of the terrorist boy got shot.
Yeah, so she'll probably be on our side, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike.
She's scary looking.
A little.
She got the vish lines on her face,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
She hit the wall. You want to talk about a broad that hit the wall.
She is the Middle Eastern Eileen Brennan.
Yeah.
That's really what she looks and sounds like.
I look at her, and all I think is gardening.
Not me.
Perhaps the desert sands. A form of microabrasion.
Hello. Igor?
Yeah, hey, guys. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I thought Tony was supposed to be in jail now because he compromised the safety of the United States, remember?
He had another job, and they called him back, though, because of his latest crisis. All right, no, I take it back.
No, he was on a run.
He had gotten out of the biz because he had finally found William Devane's daughter he was going to shack up with.
No. Yeah, but remember last time when he went for his wife's safety over the safety of the country, they were saying that they were going to put him in jail.
What?
They never...
Okay. He ran away.
Hello, here's
Remember
Mike.
With the thing and the guy that did the thing then?
Remember Mike, the time?
Mike in Vegas. Yeah. Mike.
Hey, Tony's on the outs because he released the terrorists so his wife wouldn't get killed.
Right. I think we covered that. Thank you, though.
Huh?
All right, thank you.
Any truth to the rumor that at the end of the season, William Devane is going to eat half the cast?
Wouldn't that
just
be
bite
great?
Their heads clean off.
Just those big, gigantic teeth.
Hi there.
Son, I had to make them put the big metal hat on your head, son. Hey, Dad, that's totally bogus. I'm out of here.
Million divides are at stake. Million divides.
William Devane is a Ferengi.
And how about that British guy? Who doesn't have him pegged as a bad guy already?
Yeah, or he is one, or he's going to flip over.
Just trouble.
That's good. Oh, man. That's good. So that's the latest on 24. Mm-hmm. We all watch that show. That's a good show. We dig that. James. Hello, James. Don and Mike show.
Donald, two things.
Yes, sir.
American Idol's in Cleveland tonight.
Oh, and Orlando, but yeah, you're right. Thank you. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Also,
maybe I'm wrong.
Brett Favre is retiring.
Oh, BS.
Where'd you hear that?
on ESPN News about 30 minutes ago.
Are you lying or are you telling the truth?
I totally don't believe you.
Dude, I wish I was lying. It's just interviewed Donald Driver about it. I wish I was lying to you, Donald.
It's an easy way to find out. That should be on the website.
If that's the case, we're ending the show early today.
I normally have you.
You are seriously, before we end the show, going to be privy to a man bursting into tears.
Hello, Troy. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I think you might have been talking about the James Brown thing about Fox and changing the name of the best damn sports show to the best darn sports show.
How did you know that?
Because the guy said damn. Yeah. And then
Hold on. You get a prize, dude. That's good. Where are you calling from?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Man, I need you to be here to be my mind reader.
The Brett Favre thing is not true.
Of course not.
No.
You've got rentals for a year at Blockbuster. Hi, Johnny.
That caller's an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, Emmett Smith retired.
Right. Oh, who cares about him? All of our callers are idiots, except this guy, who's a genius.
How do you get Emmett Smith? How does Emmett Smith turn into Brett Favre? How does that caller process?
Well, there's a lot of dying that goes into it. I don't mean D-Y. I mean, you know, like Michael Jackson, lots of bleaching and dying. Listen, hold on. You have got 52 free rentals from Blockbuster Video. That's a year's worth of rentals. If you need more extra days with your movies and games, go ahead and take them. No harm and no late fees. Right. The end of late fees, and that's from the new Blockbuster. Thank you for helping me with the brain fart.
No problem.
Thank you. Yeah. So I was talking to JB about all that is Jacksonville, and we were talking about how Fox is covering this. I think we're going to have JB on later this week.
Okay.
And one of the things that he mentioned was, you know, Fox Sports has got a weird bug up its ass that ever since this thing with Randy, and now I'm not speaking for James Brown, I'm speaking for myself.
Right.
Since this thing with Randy Moss allegedly, you know, pretending to pull down his pants, well, not alleged, he pantomimed he was moving.
That is a disgusting act.
Right, so Joe Buck got his panties in a roar about it, and now they're concerned about what they present on Fox as opposed to what they have on Fox Sports, which is somehow is being perceived as not really Fox.
Yep, yeah.
It's, you know, they're trying to say, hey, wait, we're Fox Sports. You know, the TV network is one thing.
Aren't they getting a little too, aren't they overthinking it just a wee bit?
Well, yeah, and this is why. I did not know this. I did not know that till JB told me that one of the things they're going to have on Super Bowl with, like, their 8-hour pregame show is the best damn sports show. However, because for this day, it's going to be on Fox, not on cable, it's going to be called the best darned sports show.
It's true.
So it's not going to be...
They've lost their minds.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. It's funny.
And who doesn't, that is even remotely a sports fan, doesn't know the name of that show?
And even JB, in a candid, off-air moment, laughed. Just laughed.
Said, funny world.
You know, said, I'll be reading the cards. Well, stand by for the best darn pregame show.
It'll be interesting to see if any of their hosts on that show, you know, make reference to the fact that they've championed, because I would think those guys, because they are a little irreverent, that they might say accidental.
Did anybody happen to, besides me, don't bother answering this, because I know I'm the only one, watch any of the NFL Media Day on the NFL channel?
I did not have the pleasure.
Was that today?
That's today. Because you know from all the years that we've gone to the Super Bowl before, that Media Days where they bring these big dopes out, and they sit and other dopes just ask these athletes dumb questions. The highlight was, they had Terrell Owens for a whole hour. Guys are just asking him questions. And at one point, they say, how do you like Jacksonville? Terrell Owens says, I thought we were in Georgia. And they get to laugh from the crowd. And then he says, this ain't Florida. This is cold. And then there's the nervous titter. Nervous titter from the pro Jacksonville. And he says, look at y'all. Wearing your overcoats. And then the NFL Network cuts from this.
Cut. Oh. He's dissing the Super Bowl city.
And they go to Rich Eisen, who's sitting on this set, wearing a big-ass overcoat.
It's about 40 degrees.
It's so great.
Oh, man.
It's so great. Super Bowl, it's so great that we're not there this year.
You know, it's going to get to a point where they're going to, I think in the long run, they might just have the Super Bowl at three different cities. Three cities that people like, because these cities, Jacksonville, I never remember in the media a city getting beat up more than Jacksonville has gotten over this Super Bowl.
People are
almost not worth it, really.
People are less irate about going to Detroit next year than they are about the fact that the Super Bowl is in Jacksonville this year.
And would you agree that Houston got better treatment than Jacksonville has gotten? And people were people were talking, dissing Houston a little bit, but they were doing it in, you know, kind of behind the scenes.
Right.
Saying, hey, it's, you know, it needs to be cleaned up. It's too far in a cab. But Jacksonville, it's just out there for everybody to see.
Jacksonville, we know we suck. Come on down.
No hotels, cruise ships on the river. Jacksonville.
On the river.
River.
I saw a headline today that said having a Super Bowl in Jacksonville is like having the Oscars in Sacramento.
Really? That's funny. What's funny about that?
That's your town, I understand.
Dude, that's so not funny.
It's the 85th Annual Academy Awards from the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
From the Big Asparagus Festival. You know what they had running around there?
This year you can smell the Oscars.
The Asparagus Queen. Yes, Chris, hi.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Oh.
Sorry about that, Chris.
Just lost your privileges. You should be able to tell from the show how we're doing.
Thank you.
Chris?
Hey.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Hop on our first break. If we get to it early, we can have more show later. I can't believe we've not, two things we've not touched on yet. That is the David Letterman thing last night for Johnny. Pretty freaking brilliant he was.
Heartfelt.
Unlike Jay Leno, the lifeless robot, Letterman manages to show some real emotion.
Yeah, and a real nice special moment with Doc Severinsen conducting that orchestra with Johnny's favorite song. And then forgetting what it was.
The name of the song. It's supposed to be Johnny Carson's favorite song of all time. He played they come back, they go, Letterman goes, that's beautiful. What's the name of that song?
But he knew all the notes. You know, he played it, but he didn't know the title of it.
Just didn't know.
Roughly.
Hello, Mark. Don and Mike show. Mark.
Yeah, I was just going to comment about the Letterman last night. I thought it was just a wonderful show, didn't you?
Yes. He did everything
that... It was
that,
real. It was as real as it gets.
Everything that Jay didn't do. And I maintain, you know, that I might not have had the rave out about Johnny that I did last week if somebody had covered it last week in the way that Letterman did.
Yep.
Everybody else was so goddamn self-serving and, you know, Johnny was the king, but let me tell you what I meant to Johnny.
And seriously, not to sound, you know, over maudlin about it, but what a serious tribute. Of all the tributes you could give the guy, to do his monologue and do all his jokes in the monologue, I can't think of
it. And then not say anything about it until afterwards.
And until somebody said that. That's the ultimate tribute right there.
Yeah, really.
And you know what? And I remember what I was telling Don before the show, watching that monologue, I'm saying, man, these are not timely, like, today's headline jokes. I mean, what's going on?
The jokes that a dying man was saying.
Oh, God.
Is there any question, though, who Carson wanted to succeed him on NBC's Tonight Show?
Letterman kind of did make that apparent as well.
Right.
But anyway, I agree. We got the tapes. It was really good, as opposed to Jay Leno, who was really bad. So we'll talk about that. We've still got another Buzz's Golden Age of Porno to get to at some point today. And we've not even mentioned the major crisis involving the Spiewak family.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
And the world's most super terrific godson.
This will be a sweet story and also an educational story about, you know, what not to do.
Yeah.
That's right. Kids and pills.
Yeah.
A nail biter.
A dangerous mix.
A lesson learned. A little tyke saved.
But all of this happened yesterday. We can talk about it now today. Now that Robert is okay.
Absolutely.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
I thought Rob wanted to talk about it about halfway through the show yesterday when he kind of opened the door a little bit. But I guess that's when there was still the possibility that they might have to pump Robert's stomach.
Absolutely.
Well, and Viagra's not cheap.
I was pretty flipped out yesterday. I mean, it was a weird day, and what happened is...
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
After the break.
Yeah, but I was flipped out.
So. Season. Yeah, I'm glad everything worked out.
He's got most of his vision, and he hears pretty good, so.
Another in the continuing saga of Ass Father.
Okay, Robbie's story. We're coming right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, let's get one of those home satellite dishes. Then we can stop suckling on the 6 network teat.
Get back, Hunky Cap. Those systems are too expensive.
Marge, we can't pinch pennies on the machine that's going to be raising our children.
The Don and Mike Show. Granny. The Don and Mike Show.
Bow, 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 bow. You might be thinking about calling this show today.
All right.
Everybody, Jim Morris in the doors. I gave him my AOR talk up there.
I like that.
That means album-oriented rock.
Very, very cool.
Although, really, on a station like that, they wouldn't talk it up, would they? They would just, it'd just be something like this. Tuesday. It's Don. It's Mike. It's Doors. I-97 rocks.
I heard a guy on the weekend doing that, and I hate that.
Don't they know how bad that sucks?
It's so non-friendly, and it's so non-inclusive. It's just kind of like about it.
Hey, here we are. Yeah, I'm cool. Saturday night. What's happening with you? Playing some tunes. Check in from Edgewood City. It's Marvin. In the box. Doors. X. 109.
Let's
rock.
Marvin.
The guy that hangs up the headphones like a... picks up the request line.
Hi, how are you? my real name is Sherman.
Love the two-time baby.
Good song, though.
Love the two-time baby. As I was starting to say there, if you're thinking about calling the show today,
Don't.
I urge you to.
Oh, okay.
As always, however, be aware of Joe.
Oh, yes.
Joe having a day?
A warning.
Joe's been having weeks. I just had a brief meeting with Joe, and it went something like this. I was washing my hands in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And Joe said, how about these callers? And I said, what about the callers? He said, I want to let you know what I don't do Joe the way you do him.
Right.
And the way anybody does him, but his voice.
Nobody does him the way I do him.
Right.
What he says is, he's got a way of screening calls today. That if he picks up the phone and says, Don and Mike show, and the person says, hey, he hangs up on them.
Okay.
Now,
today's rule.
So he's devising a system? Yeah. Now, you know, there might be some great calls out there. No. Is this him?
Wait, he's going to explain himself.
Joe.
Clarification. You got it wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If someone calls and I say, Don and Mike show, and they go, yeah.
Oh, that was yeah.
Well, that's different than hey.
It is.
Yeah.
They have that belligerent yeah, you hang up
and
on them right away.
Windows are down, the radio's
on. See,
but
it might
on.
Not be a belligerent yeah, though. I mean, it just might
what
be
if
like...
What if it was that? Yeah, I wanted to let Don and Mike know that I love their show, and here's something I'd like to contribute of a comedic nature.
Well, I'd be long gone.
Really?
Really?
You would have hung up on them, so...
Just for the word is yeah... No.
All right, what
yeah,
do you
I want to keep that in mind. If you're calling today and you say yeah,
David Spade
no.
here.
What do you want the first word to be then?
I want them to just I want them to listen to the show.
You have to give them an option.
I want them to listen to the show and track with
but
the
this
show.
First Joe, word thing you put enormous pressure on.
What's yeah. their first word when you say Don and Mike show?
What's the optimal first word?
Joe! Say would, Joe.
Hey Joe.
Would you that hang up if someone says hi Joe?
How about a greeting instead of yeah?
Well, what if the greeting follows the yeah? Yeah, Joe, how are you?
No, sorry.
And frankly, Joe, listen.
Today's rule is no
it's
yeah.
very Simon Cowell-like
that's
that
true.
Way.
I think that perhaps sometimes on the show, Mike or I, the DJ is doing the show. If we're taking live calls and someone says, yeah, and we interpret it as like, oh, they're a jerk, we can hang up on them. I don't think you can.
No, I can.
No. I don't. I know.
See, I can.
He's already
obviously,
done it.
Obviously, I know you can. It's just I don't think you should.
I think I know you should. You don't you should, think I should, Don. You sh- I'm you sh- doing this to protect you.
But you should give them
for your own good.
You should give because these people person, more than just Don and Mike. And if they
do
say
they
yeah,
call their mother and she goes, hello, yeah,
I'll
ma.
Bet they do.
Now you know.
I'm out of money and I need some crack.
Okay, now,
bitch.
Again,
wow,
he's wound up.
He is wound up.
I hate defending our listeners because I hate them as much as you do, Joe, but I want to say
hey,
this.
Don, did you hear that Peyton Manning's retiring? I heard it on ESPN.
There have been times when I have called people and they go, hello, and I go, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah,
very common.
And it doesn't always happen. I mean, if it's now, if the tone is, and there are varying tones here, if you get a, yeah, I want to talk to that. That might be trouble.
But if you just like,
I was wondering.
Not today.
So everyone today has violated your rule.
No, not everyone. You've gotten calls. I've put people up.
It's so arbitrary.
People who are tracking with the show and go right into the topic.
It seems
you don't even have to say hi, Joe. You don't even have to say Joe. You just say, Don and Mike are talking about such and such and such. Cool. What's your name? Where are you from?
It seems awfully stringent.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bethan. Happy birthday to you.
Perfect.
that's not why I came in. I wanted to
sure
tell a story.
Sure it's not.
You know, I'm a big, I love Joe so much, and I'm the first to defend him. But, Joe, I got to tell a little story.
Good, please.
About 8 months ago, before I worked here, but was actually hired to come here.
Yes.
I was told by Rob to call in, and I was given the request number. And I called, like, four times. And every time, before I could get Joe hung up on me.
He would hang up on you.
Yeah.
Here you are, his new boss, calling him up.
No, but I'm just saying, it brought back memories.
Yeah.
Have
we opened the door on something here where would there be people out there, Joe, that would corroborate Beth Ann's story and tell
that they
that
are right?
Maybe you're
American.
A little harsh. You've become a little harsh.
No, it's not that I've become a little
good
harsh.
Mic technique, incidentally, Joe. I love that. When you do it, some of the Mike asks you a question, first we get a little
it's relatable, man.
I like that.
People like to hear that, man. It's like, it means we're working.
It's like, yeah.
Anyway.
All right, King Vitamin.
So you're saying you've always been harsh?
No. Not always been harsh, but when the first caller through starts out with the, Mike, remember when, like, hey, you know, and the dog you owned and you bought it from this person? Well, she has a sister, wants me to say hi for her.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad call.
Okay, but you don't know that that's coming after just Don and Mike's show. Yeah. You know, you got to give them more than just a
perhaps
yeah.
Perhaps not enough.
But he was a good caller at first because I think he just wanted to say happy birthday to Beth Ann. Then he had to go into that diatribe. And
can I be honest with you?
It's free will, Rob.
Joe, can I be honest with you?
I agree.
Joe, that diatribe touched me. Right here.
Sure it did.
In the ticker.
After 10 years.
I know, Mike.
The sister remembers me.
I know, you care.
I do care. All right, Joe. Let's take some calls. Let's screen some calls.
Is Joe gonna, are you going to screen them, Don?
I'll press them and let's... Joe, you tell me if I should let them go.
Oh.
Okay, put the headphones on. Here we go. You do the talk and you just give me hand signs.
Okay.
You have to keep them on or cut them off.
Don and Mike show.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
You need to feel the love, buddy. You're missing the love.
What can I do for you?
Not much. I just needed to give you some love because you're missing it.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem.
Good day to you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so that one wouldn't make it through?
That went well. Would you have really talked in real life to that guy that long?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but he didn't want to, you know, get on the show, so I just let him off.
Okay, all right.
No contact.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, Joe, you're a god.
Oh, well, thank you,
sir. Dude, I just want to tell you the best screener in radio.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to let that out, big man, all right?
Great, I'm moving to Sirius soon.
All right, big man. support. All right, big man.
I'm going to go screen for Sirius soon.
Big, are you really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, congratulations.
That's more of the dry wit.
Yeah.
The arid-like wit of right. Joe Ardinger. Let me also say now that we've taken two on-screen calls. Neither one of those people deserved to be hung up on.
No, they were nice.
That's because neither one of them said, yeah.
Most callers are good, Don, but okay. We'll find one.
All right, hold on. Here's maybe Beth Ann calling. Hello, Beth Ann.
Don and Mike show.
Oh, that was a hang-up.
Okay, back to the request line.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, two artists are the best screeners.
See, now he had a point there.
Yeah.
That was the guy that started out, yeah, I wanted
Windows
to
Windows down, radio on, yeah.
He was blaming. All he wanted to say was Joe was a name.
Got a phone, got a radio, think I'll call the radio. Yeah.
But Joe, you are our director of first impressions. Yes. Many times when people call the show.
Goddamn right I am.
But people hate us enough already.
Yeah.
They
don't need people hating us more because of a bad experience they've had with one of our lackeys.
You think it's time to refurbish the PR?
You're the number one lackey,
the public
though.
Relations department.
First line of defense.
All right, hold on. We have to have Joe tweak it up a little
Give
bit.
Give it a try, Joe. Here you go.
Hi, Joe.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, Joe. It's Brett Favre. I tried to call a while ago, but you hung up on me. I wanted to reassure Don that I'm not retired.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brett.
So you're funny. You're totally losing your argument now. That's three decent calls in a row.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know he was Brett Favre.
Hello, I'm sorry, Joe.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
Just wanted to call and say you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Rob.
No problem.
Have a good day.
Oh, we didn't fool you.
That went well.
All right, here we go. Back to the other phones. Go ahead, Joe.
Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say I think Joe Ardinger's kind of dreamy.
I think you're kind of retarded.
Now, Don, see, there you are being mean to our callers.
Oh, this
Don
is
Mike show.
Oops, sorry.
Hello, Mr. Ardinger.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
What can I do for you?
Well, I was just calling in and saying I really like the show, but Tonya Harding is a disgrace to the Northwest.
Cool, I'll pass it on. Have a good day.
You too.
So you wouldn't let that one through?
Tonya Harding? But she was on, like, in 2003.
But let me know now, with these people, I can immediately tell, like, that last woman, that was a worthless call. But you would sit through that. You would
Well, sure, because she was cool. She didn't start out with, yeah.
It's all it takes
so it's all
today.
About, yeah.
It's all about, yeah, today. Okay, is, is this today's rule? Or, I mean, how many rules do you have? Any hard and fast rules that are implemented all the time?
The only one all the time is if I pick up and I hear
get you. High every day.
Hey.
Rule number one.
Did you give me the finger?
Make sure there's a substance in these veins.
Rule number one, ice cubes in the bong. Anyway.
What? Yeah. Cool. Smoke.
It cools the smoke. Thanks, Buzz.
I didn't understand it. All right. Let's get some
rule number two.
Hard,
draw
rules.
The shades.
Okay. Hard, fast rules from Joe. Keeping in mind that he's neither hard nor fast.
Absolutely.
The only real hard, fast rule is if you've got your windows down or you're driving a Mack truck with the radio on and the windows down and you're cruising down the road.
Is it okay if it's Windows 98?
I've got my issues, as Buzz knows,
yes,
with Windows.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
He's got an opinion on everything.
If I could also point out again, good mic technique. When you want to refer to Buzz, you actually pick the microphone up and move it across the room at Buzz.
I want people to understand out there that I'm actually turning to speak to Buzz.
I think we all got that impression.
All right, Joe, let's try one more.
He's painting a picture.
As of right now, you're the big loser.
Tapestry, if you will.
You're the big loser in this segment that our listeners seem wonderful. They've done,
charming.
They've done nothing to piss us off.
They have their thoughts organized.
Would you reconsider the yeah rule?
Would you?
Let's take another call.
Okay. Okay. Just one more.
Don and Mike show.
Gary Cole.
What about him?
Gary Cole in the movie Office Space. He prefaced every statement in the office with, yeah.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Joe, you have lost his argument. This guy is a good... Good caller.
But he didn't preface it with, yeah.
Okay. All right, see you later. Bye-bye, get out of here. And Joe, today, how about you just bend your yeah rule just a little bit? Can you bend it, or is it going to be stiff and rigid today?
For you, Don.
Will you bend it?
For you.
Will you bend it like Beckham?
Of course I will.
He's going to bend his rule, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of idiots are excited right now.
Hey, Ma, yeah.
Don't abuse
him. He's going to,
Because you know that's all he's going to get now. Every call for the rest of the judge is going to be, yeah.
I want to thank the people that called in and were kind enough to follow my rule for this segment.
Follow his rule.
Well, they shall be rewarded.
Can't wait till you get the first
call. Don has rescinded the rule.
I can't wait till he gets the, you know, and I love having you in here. The rhythm is just amazing.
King Joe.
We call him the freight train. Anyway, I can't wait till you get the first caller that comes in and just goes, yeah!
You know that's
you know what it'll sound like? It'll sound
there he is
like
with the mic. I know, now that's driving me nuts.
It'll sound like this. Yeah!
Okay, because you'll hang up on
it. See, because he's figured out his on-off switch on the microphone.
I figured it out, Don. I got a phone. I see a radio.
Joe.
And Don and Mike are on the radio. I'm going to call them. And
Joe,
I'm going to thank them for saying hi to my friend,
Joe,
who's a waiter at a bar that they went to at Super Bowl 34 in Minnesota.
This is pot calling kettle black time.
Yes, he's raving out. He's blowing off a little steam.
This is a very challenged man calling out other challenged people.
Yes, high-pressure job. Sure. Absolutely.
Look at him.
He's having a great day.
He's in his Rolling Stones hat, and he's got his Live 105 t-shirt on.
Mm-hmm. You do see
rocked
you
out.
You're having one of your good days, aren't you?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't sound that way in the bathroom.
Well, no, because the first guy who went to Mike and talked about God knows what people that he met 10 years ago.
He was talking about
Mike,
someone that I made an impression on.
Mike, it's Tuesday. You can't remember Saturday night.
Excuse Mike, we're getting some shtick here.
We're talking about the listeners that I love, Joe.
You love them, Mike.
You know what would really help Joe's attitude?
What?
If he came to work in a sport jacket.
Hey, yeah, and Joe, haven't you promised us that you're going to come to work in a suit?
Yeah, but I don't think it's been to the dry cleaner.
And I think the sport jacket should look just like the one Tommy Newsom wore on Letterman's show.
And if you can't find that, just anything James Garner wore on the Rockford Files. That would work as well.
Oh, if I had a leather blazer, that would be cool, but I don't.
No, but you have a sport jacket. You said it's under your bed.
Mike, I have a blazer.
Hey, Mike,
yeah.
I'm going out this weekend. Can I borrow your leather blazer?
Absolutely. No problem at all.
Joe, if you bring in your sport jacket, I will have it cleaned for you.
Leather blazer.
A leather blazer.
I don't have one.
What, a sport coat or a leather blazer?
Well, I have a blue blazer.
Yeah, bring it in. We'll get it shiny and nice, and
Joe,
you can wear it.
So you think that would change his, that would change his attitude?
I guarantee it.
Well, I might as well bring in the pants and the tie.
No, I didn't say I would do that.
I worked at a stupid radio station one time where they made you wear a tie to work.
Oh,
it was
my God.
A top 40 station, and even like I worked 10 to 2 at night.
What? Owned by Liddy?
And sometimes the manager would come around at night to make sure you had the tie on.
Oh,
why
wow.
Why are you doing the show? Because it was supposed to remind you to be a professional.
Else wear the suit and tie.
Oh, idiot.
All right, Joe, we'll get out of here.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Joe.
Oh, thank you for your support.
Hey, Joe?
Hmm?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah? Yes? Wait, what's the word again?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
that's it. All right, goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
We will be right back with Dennis Franz.
Ah,
there's got to be a better segment than we just had.
Absolutely.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, let me tell you something. There are two things which clearly differentiate the human species from animals. One, we use cutlery. Two, we're capable of controlling our sexual urges. Now, you might be an exception, but don't drag me down into your private hell.
The Don and Mike Show.
Totally refreshing.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Thought about your liver lately?
Always.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's another thing that those types of DJs do.
Mm-hmm.
Real fast, because I know Dennis Franz is on the phone. Hey, Dennis?
Yeah?
Don't you hate it when you listen to a radio station to go, how you doing? It's Mark with a C.
Where do those voices come from? Who are those people?
It's time to get the let out on I-97.
When they play the record.
Everybody from NYPD Blue, the great Dennis Franz.
Dennis Franz, you're the greatest, Dennis.
Love Dennis Franz, love NYPD Blue. Final season, and Beth Ann just told me you're actually filming right now, correct?
Yeah, I just broke away from the set. I said, these guys are on hold. I got them waiting. I got to get out of there, guys.
Man, well,
so they got Mark Ball and Henry Simmons sitting in there with a perp and a pokey, and they put it on hold for me to come out and talk.
We appreciate it.
That's such an accomplishment, though. 12 seasons. I mean, you got to be into as far as dramas on television, record territory. I would think with that, right?
Well, we're up there. Yeah, I mean, there's another Law and Order actually started a year before us, and
really?
They're still going strong.
Yeah, but Dennis, way back in the day.
You bet.
Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street ran 7 years. Hill Street was a 7-year running show. And,
we were talking about you yesterday. You were, weren't you like a bad cop on Hill Street Blues?
I should have played two cops. The first one was a guy named Sal Benedetto, and yeah, you're right. He's a bad vice cop, and I painted myself into a corner. I pulled some cocaine scam, and I got trapped. I committed suicide in a bank vault. They took me hostage, and they sent a robot in after me. I beat up the robot, and I blew my brains out. And then they brought me back as this second guy, Norman Bunce, the last couple of years.
The thing about Hill Street Blues, which continues into NYPD Blue, I remember that. Now, that was, it was the year I got married, so 24 years ago, almost 25. My wife worked in on Saturday nights at the time, and we were newlyweds, and there was nothing on TV on Saturday night that was remotely good. And the show Hill Street Blues came on, and I remember saying to my wife when she got home from work, I've seen the most amazing show, a show like I've never seen before. When you look back at that show, and then now you've got all this crap, CSI, Law and Order, NYPD Blue, it all really started with that, didn't it? At least this
I like
genre.
To lump us in with all that crap.
I didn't mean it like that. But, you know, I mean,
funny, that show, Hill Street, it still holds up to this day. I still see repeats of it, and it's still just a groundbreaking television. It was really, really innovative and new for its time, but it still holds up after all these years. Oddly enough, at the time that Hill Street came out, I sort of had a grudge against Hill Street because I was in a show called Chicago Story in Chicago, and we were filming. It was a 90-minute weekly about cops, lawyers, and doctors, and we were up against... That was the big competition, was Hill Street, and everybody's trying to knock them off, and I couldn't give it up to them. In my heart, I thought, nah, nah, nah.
Was Dennis Farina in that? Was he in that Chicago Story?
Dennis never did anything on that show.
Okay.
No, as a matter of fact, I think he was still on the job as a police officer in the city when
yeah, in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, are you in any way? I know NYPD's coming to an end.
Yes.
Are you in any way mad at ABC for jerking around the time of the show and when new episodes are going to be on?
No, there was a time throughout the years. We've been on for 12 years, and over those 12 years, they have pulled some. Stunts with us and moved us around and started us very late in the season. And at the time, I was upset about it because I didn't want to upset the apple cart. And I know developing viewer habits is of prime importance. And when they break that habit, then I thought, okay, that's going to be detrimental to the show. But it seems to have paid off over the years. So, you know, all bets are off now. I'm fine with it.
So after this, you, 12 seasons, and of course, you had the 7 seasons with Hill Street Blues. Is it going to be looking for something else that's totally different, or is it going to be, just relaxing for a while and, lying on the couch and counting your money? What are you going to do after this?
A lot of golf. Mm-hmm. Looking at, I'm not going to say no to any possibilities, but... Right. Travel, golf, relaxation with the wife, and I'm going through some movie scripts that I haven't had a chance to take advantage of during the shooting season because it's 9 months and only leaves a small window of opportunity during the summer, and I've always been one that I'm good at doing nothing. I'm good at relaxing and having a good time.
Good for you.
So have they come to you with the idea for, who's the guy that's Joey? From Friends?
Oh, Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, that show was successful and ended. Let's say they come to you and they say, listen, here's the idea. The show is called Andy. And it's about what happens to Sipowicz after he has to leave the NYPD, and then he goes to Hollywood and he wants to... I mean, would you even entertain that, keeping the character alive?
There would have to be a real...
pile of
point
money?
Of interest for me, and a big strong pile of money. Yeah.
Big suitcase.
Real different point of view in order for me to even think about that. But I mean, I think we've done everything we can with him for now, and maybe in the future that's a possibility. Like I say, I don't want to say no to any possibility.
When you're as an actor, when you're playing this recurring role for such a long period of time, yeah. When an actor sits back, I mean, obviously, when you're not a working actor, you dream of having the opportunity to get a character like this, and to have a career like you've had. But when you have that, do you think as an actor, what is the type of, are there any roles or type of roles that would stretch you as an actor that you maybe fantasize about, that you think about playing?
Every day, I see, probably every movie that my wife and I go see, there will be at least one part that I'll look at, and I think I can do that. A lot of the coach movies that I'm seeing, managers or coaches and things, and just everyday guys, about on a daily basis, yes. And
give me the, what's the last movie that you and your wife saw, and you left, and you thought, I could have been good in this role or this role. If you don't mind, would you be specific?
Well, I say coach movies. There's several choices that Billy Bob Thornton has.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, would you have liked to have played that role?
Absolutely.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, see, I could see you. I could see you in that. I could see you.
In a baseball movie.
I could see him, in the Pacino role. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm a jerk. Al Pacino, like I know him.
No, you mean.
In Any Given Sunday. You could be the same type of Ditka, almost ready to lose his mind coach
on
the sidelines. But,
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of.
But I like you as a cop.
Directions. Well,
you're so good as a cop,
you.
Though. I mean, I don't mean that as a put down. That's really a compliment.
You know,
you're a great cop.
You look at especially when you go as far back as David Caruso when he left the show. Jimmy Smits left the show.
Right.
You know, you hung in there. Obviously, you were rewarded for that. That's why you one of the reasons why you hung in there with the show. Any regrets at all about maybe staying for 12 seasons, or are you glad you did it? Are you glad you hung in there? Because it's a long time to play one character.
Not a single regret.
That's great.
Began this by saying, I fell into something that many actors dream of, and
right.
And you're absolutely right. We can too easily forget where we were the year before,
mm-hmm.
and longing for a job, just wanting to get something steady. And then when this thing falls into your lap, I really took such pride in this, and I take such pride in the work that we do, and I love playing Andy Sipowicz, and I love this character, and I love the storylines that they give me and the stretches that they pull me into, and all the rewards that we have gotten from it, and the personally, the accolades that we've gotten, I owe to this show, I owe to the character, and I will never stop being grateful and thankful for having the opportunity.
Last thing, how do you feel about your ass being... so famous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got mirrors in my house. I know what it looks like. It should never be on TV.
Dennis, I just wanted to tell you, when I saw you on a talk show, when I was a big fan of Hill Street Blues, the first time I ever saw you, you have a reputation, and I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, of being one of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Thank you.
And it's a tribute to your acting ability.
I heard he's a jerk.
It's just great.
You've been talking to my wife.
It's always so nice to talk to you. Because you really are a great guy,
yeah.
And we wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks very much.
And I
appreciate that.
And Dennis, I know you wouldn't say this, but we were talking about the all the people who have come and gone on your show.
Yeah.
Right. At some point, you've got to turn on your TV, just sit back, have a cigar, a beverage of your choice,
mm-hmm.
and see Jimmy Smits crawling to get on the West Wing.
When Jimmy was doing our show, he had a guest shot here on the show. He did a wonderful episode. He came back in a dream sequence.
No, yes. He was really good in that episode. Yeah.
And that was the day before he was shooting the thing for West Wing.
Wow.
I asked him, I said, are you going to be, I said, they all clicked then. I said, are you going to be the new president? And he gave me that Jimmy Smits little grin. He said, well,
listen, someone should have hit that guy on the head and said, listen, you know what you got with Dennis Franz? You got a little thing called chemistry, dude.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, you took it personally when everybody left NYU.
Yeah, although you showed him, didn't you? And you showed Caruso and all those other guys.
Everybody. You're the great.
Hey, show nobody nothing. Caruso's doing just fine. Jimmy's doing just fine.
Yeah, right. They're getting all their new shows, and you're still there on NYPD Blue.
You're the rock, man. We love you, Dennis.
We love you, Dennis.
Thank you. All
right.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Everybody, it's the final season of NYPD Blue on ABC, check your local listings. The great Dennis Franz.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
bye
Dennis. Bye. All right, see you.
Bye, man. He is really such a nice guy, and it's amazing because it's so opposite when you get,
hey, I gotta go do this.
Yeah,
no, come in there.
Humble, and I do not believe that about Jimmy Smits. I think that Dennis Franz has to sit back, just be picking the loon out of his belly button on a Wednesday night, getting drunk, and going, yeah. Good luck being the next president, Smits.
You think he turns into Sipowicz when he's not on a show?
Say, they come, they go. Who's the piece of granite?
Same thing on Monday night?
Yeah. Oh,
Caruso.
Yeah. More so with Caruso.
And Rob, you're not good enough for us. Look at you with the palm trees.
And Rob, I wasn't going to suggest a spinoff Beverly Hills Bunt. I wasn't going to do that.
That is brilliant.
That was a real show.
That was a real show?
Got a spinoff from Hill Street.
Beverly Hill Bunt?
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. How long ago? How long was that on the air?
Two and a half episodes.
2 weeks, maybe.
Well, you know what? Rob, I'm really glad I didn't bring it up.
No, but I mean, just to show his staying power, he was giving his own show.
I have in this one quadrant of my incredibly oversized brain, Beverly Hills Bunts.
I would have brought it up. If you would have reminded me, I would have. I remembered it.
Yeah.
I didn't remember it.
I
thought it was Rob being silly.
It was. No, I was being so sincere.
I think it was like Bunt Cake.
I thought it was like a butt joke or something like that.
Ass joke from Ass Father.
You know who I was just then, Rob? Ass host.
Well, maybe if I was clear.
clearer in my problem.
That's all right.
Beverly Hills Buds. Hi, Charlie.
Buds.
Hey, listen, The West Wing.
Yeah.
That show is such a waste. Now that they're getting into Martin Sheen leaving the White House, I could give a rat's. Last week, the entire show was Jimmy Smits, Alan Alda,
right,
and the guy who was, I think, Greg Cole. Is that the guy? What is the guy's name? Gary Cole, that was in the Brady Bunch movie.
Right. Or,
this is the guy from Animal House that's running for president. On
Flounder?
No, the guy, yeah, Peter...
Riger.
Peter, either way...
Was he the one with the, it's Mr. Thoughtful with a dozen roses? Is that the guy's...
Was he Otter?
Otter?
Which guy was he in Animal House? The guy that's on the West Wing.
He was also in The Sopranos, right?
Yeah,
okay, that's Otter.
Peter Riger. Was that Otter?
That's Otter.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, the entire episode last week of The West Wing was based on these three guys going to Iowa, making their speeches. And, you know, I watched The West Wing to see the fake president that I like,
Martin
Sheen.
Well, you got to get, I don't know if you have the showtime, you got to watch Huff. That's the best new show on television.
No, this is Sam Huff.
It is not starring Sam Huff.
This is Sam Huff.
It's about him.
It is.
This is Sam Huff.
It's the finest show on
television. This is Sam Huff.
Right. Mike is right, and here is a clip. It stars the guy, what's his name?
Hank Azaria.
Hank
Azaria.
No. Who's the guy who's the star of
Oliver
Huff?
Platt.
No. Tony Schlapura?
No, that's.
Oh, that's Monk.
That's Monk.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This is Hank Azaria.
Yeah, right.
As Huff.
Right. Anyway, here, I'm sorry, I screwed it up. Here's the clip from Huff.
I love to play in the mud because I wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but you put us in mud, and I'm just as fast as most of the guys. Most guys can't run in mud.
Okay. Hank Azaria had to put on a little weight for the role, but really, he's amazing.
Thank you very much. Getting those shows mixed up.
In 1959, I was the most valuable player on defense in the National Football League. I was making $9,000. I had to have a job. So I went to a friend of mine who ran a thoroughfare market.
And just kind of fade that out.
Off on Showtime. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I got those shows mixed up because my wife loves that show.
Monk,
and sits down.
Well, Monk's the guy that used to be on Wings.
Yeah, and he's like obsessive compulsive, and she says, oh, watch this. This is so good and so funny. And I watch it, and it's like, huh?
It has a following.
Really?
I don't watch it.
I don't like
it.
You know, I just want to say, generally speaking, I don't trust USA Network for new material.
That's the problem.
Right. They're good for reruns.
Sure, it's tough. It's tough to make that plunge.
Nope, hold on a second. Robert in Reno. Robert.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Peter Rieger character in Animal House was Boone. Tim Matheson played Otter.
Oh, it was Tim Matheson that was Otter.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Oh, listen, how did Joe treat you? Oh, because I noticed you're screened.
I'm sorry?
Did Joe treat you well?
Oh, he sounded great. I think you guys pumped him up a little bit.
You were polite and informative.
That's right.
See, I don't know how this guy made it on the air.
We got him out of the fact area now. So
yeah.
He had the fact that he was just...
He's got to freelance a little bit now.
And now he's got to ad lib.
What did you say when Joe answered the phone?
I said, hi. The character Peter Rieger played in Animal House was Boone. Tim Matheson played Otter.
Are you nervous?
It was wonderful hearing your voice shudder like a girl's.
Isn't it great?
See, you thought you'd do a little hit and run. Didn't think the spotlight would be put on you so much,
That's
did you?
That's right. My sweat's rolling off my forehead.
All right, see you later.
All right, thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good day to you, sir. He saved himself there. I admire that.
Hi.
I said good day.
Hey, you have the wrong characters.
Listen, we got a second here.
Yeah?
This is a good, now we can say funny, about the world's greatest godson, Rob's son,
yeah.
Robert.
Yeah. Thumbs.
Trips. Trip. Robert Spiewak III.
He, we had quite a day yesterday. I guess it was about noon or a little after. He was doing what he normally does. He was up in my bedroom watching television. Mm-hmm. Carrie was laying down because she'd had a late return from Florida, as you recall.
Right.
And Julia was hanging out, and she said, Daddy, Robert's got a bottle of pills, is shaking it like a maraca. I said, well, no good can come of this. So very leisurely, I go upstairs, and he is sitting. He's gotten my grandfather's bottle of Zoloft.
Oh, boy.
And he's gotten the lid. It's a child-safe lid.
Uh-huh.
And I've said it
before. He's a smart boy. He's a strong boy.
I've said it before. His sister is smart, and he is strong. So he's sitting in a pile of pills. And my thought is...
Joe's dream.
Joe. It looks like Graceland. And I'm thinking,
heaven.
What are the chances that he's swallowed one? So
yeah.
I panic. I pick him up. I say, Robert?
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Run through the conversation with you, Ron, because this is... Now you can laugh about
it. Well, the first thing I do is I yell down and I get Carrie to come up so we can panic together.
Right.
And I said, Robert, did you do these pills? Yes. I said, did you put any of these pills in your mouth? No. Yes. I said, okay, now, this medicine on the floor, pills. Yes, they're pills. What, did you put them in your mouth? No. Did you swallow them? Yes. I said, did you swallow any pills? Yes. No. I said, the last thing you want to do is get the child upset.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stay calm, and I said, how many pills did you swallow? Medicine. How much medicine did you swallow? One, two... And he says, one, two, yeah. And he trails. I say, did you put them in your mouth? No. Yes, pills. And I'm like, so this really goes on. And Carrie's, of course, watching this whole thing play out. And I said, you know what we're going to have to do? I said, we're going to have to try and make him throw up. Yeah. Because that was just, you know, the natural thing to do.
So is that when you went down to the garage and got your riding crops?
So did you get out of the tape of the Bill O'Reilly show?
No. I go to the bathroom with him and, you know, stand by the toilet. And it's just so I wash my hands.
You go to the bathroom with him?
Well, because you got to
Well, that's a little weird, isn't it, Michael Jackson?
Throwing in the toilet. He's going to puke in the toilet. And it's just, I mean, there's nothing comfortable about this, so right. I put my finger down his throat. Now, I would think with most kids, you know, I puked all the time when I was little.
Sure.
He starts laughing. No, he doesn't even gag.
Gag reflex whatsoever.
Like, tickle his throat, and then he starts biting at my finger, and he thinks that's the fun.
Because you're playing a game now.
Right. And now I'm thinking, you know what, if he's taking Zoloft, no wonder he's being so agreeable.
You got to be freaking out.
At this point, I am. So we call poison control. Oh, this is where we split so we can do double the damage.
Right.
Carrie goes to the drugstore to get syrup of Ipecac, right, which will make him throw
induce
up.
Vomiting.
Right.
Yeah.
And I call poison control. Well, this is funny with Carrie. She goes,
which member of poison did you speak to?
I spoke to Brett Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Rob? What can we help you with?
Carrie goes to our helpful Asian druggist, who is really, really not the best command of the English language.
Right.
And she says, I think my son has taken Zoloft and I need syrup of Ipecac.
It's funny that you call him a druggist.
Well, that's what
she's a druggist?
A lady druggist.
What part of Mayberry does she live in?
She works next to the grocer.
The grocer.
And so,
the druggist.
The mercantile.
And so the druggist.
Harry, we must get to a druggist.
The druggist, the pharmacist, says, we don't carry syrup of Ipecac. What was the strength of the Zoloft? And this is, you know, out of left field, but Carrie looks at the bottle. She brought the bottle. She said, 100 milligrams. And, she said, and how old is the son? And he said, 2. He said, that's a very strong dose for a child. I don't think I would have given him any more than 25. And she says, no. You don't understand.
Like you're giving your 2-year-old Zoloft.
The child is not on Zoloft. He might have swallowed it. Okay, so she's
off. The pressures of being 2.
You ever get hung up on a painkiller? Robert, you ever get hung up on Zoloft?
So, yes, no.
Yes, no. 1, 2, yes. Medicine, pills.
No, yes.
So she gets in the car. There's a place in downtown McLean that might have this syrup of Ipecac. So she goes to get that. And meanwhile, I'm on with poison control, and they say, do not induce vomiting.
Oh.
Get thee to an emergency room,
uh-oh,
and they will administer charcoal. I said, yeah. Charcoal? And they said, yeah, it helps absorb in the belly what would instead go out in the lining of the stomach.
Nice briquettes.
So I said, now, is this something we can do at home? They said, no, you really need to go to the emergency room.
So it's starting to stress you out even more.
Horrible, because they're saying, you know, because what could happen is, you know, seizures. And you don't want your boy having seizures at home. You want your boy to have seizures at the emergency room. I said, exactly.
Of course.
That's where you want the seizure to happen.
At the emergency room where they have all the charcoal briquettes.
So I get Carrie on her cell phone, and she comes home, and we send Robert off to the ER. So, you know, it's already,
And by that, I mean, he's being literate. They put the kid outside, and they said, right, Robert, walk that way.
Go that way.
It's right down there. Do you know the directions? No, yes. So,
pills.
And pills, medicine, 1, 2, no, yes. And this is, you know, panic because this doesn't leave anyone to stay with my grandfather.
Right.
So we have to arrange all of this. And so finally, all of this is resolved, and I come traipsing off to work. And, you know, I was fit to be tied yesterday.
Yeah.
So we finally she gets to the hospital, and they take good care of him. My dad, who I'd called just to let him know what was up, went over to sit with her, which was very cool. And he was there for when they finally got him into the room. And the first thing they did to give him charcoal, he said they look like Jell-O shooters. Like black gelatin things, and I'm sure they taste wonderful. And so they give him to eat, but he's a spitter. He's not a medicine taker.
He's a spitter, but he doesn't throw up when you want him.
Yes,
to.
No. Yes, no. One, two. Yes, no. So after about 4 attempted jello shots of charcoal, he really looks like Al Jolson in blackface.
Oh, my God.
He's spitting out, and he's rubbing it. And
Rob's, Rob's nightmare.
Or dream.
The child just turned black.
Oh, God. Thank God I wasn't there.
Oh,
no, but I say thank God I wasn't there.
Taste bad? I mean,
it would taste like charcoal.
Of course, if you asked him, does it taste bad? He'd say, no, yes. Hello, Daddy.
I'm Robert. Now, they need to get the charcoal in. Now, this is why I'm glad I wasn't there.
Because, wait, hold on. Robert wants to say something.
The first message is,
oh, my son.
Hey, Robert the mailman.
Not even funny.
Not at all.
So, my dad had to do is they wrapped him in a sheet.
I don't want to hear this part again.
This is so horrible. Like you would do when you give like a cat medicine,
right?
And they ran the plastic tubing down his nose.
Oh, poor guy.
And gave him about what we can estimate to be like 15 to 18 ounces of something called Adsorb, which is a charcoal crystal.
Right.
And
I don't understand why they don't just give them the syrup of epigag, let them throw up and be done with it.
Because this is, that's not as effective in...
As
in,
getting it that's in the bloodstream or...
Right.
Taken off the market. Now.
So, thank goodness, you know, he took all the stuff and after that...
He's real mellow, though, isn't he now?
Have you ever had days? He's a little bouncing ball. As a matter of fact, an animated bouncing ball, like in the commercial. So, they get this in him and he was mad as hell to have it done because it hurts and like I said, he's very strong.
Yes! No! Pills! No!
No kill! Death! It's all my father can do to restrain him. But they finally finish, and he stops crying unless someone like a nurse or a doctor comes in the room.
Right.
If he's with my mom my wife and my dad,
right,
he's fine. But if a new person comes in, he starts crying again. So
right.
Now
wow.
He's playing it. And so finally they say, you know what, it's been 6 hours. There's been no sign of anything.
And number one will always be clear for him.
Hold on, wait to hear about Robert's number two.
Oh, really?
He says, you know, if there have been any symptoms, we would have seen them by now. So whether or not he took a pill, he's free to go. So they send him home. They get home about the same time I did. And from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, we changed 5 diapers.
Oh.
That looked like, imagine if you will, if you made a syrup out of charcoal that you like cook in the summertime.
Oh, God.
The diapers, when you took them off, looked like they had been burnt.
Oh, wow.
And I don't even want to tell you about the smell.
Which oh,
like,
no.
Like that of sickness.
Oh.
Good heavens. No.
Oh, yeah.
But he made it through. And
so it wasn't all charcoal in the diapers. Not like you could reuse them to filter your water.
I don't think you'd want to.
Probably would want to do
yes,
that.
No.
Yes, no. They taste vaguely of Parmesan.
Medicine pills, yes, no.
Yes, no,
two,
no,
two, one, yes, no.
Tube.
Thank God he's fine.
Oh, thank
and
God.
It was very, very scary. And, no matter how many childproof caps you have, put those medicines up high.
Yeah, well, now the good thing is that he knows how to open a childproof cap.
Well, yeah, so he can help Carrie and I out.
The open mind.
We'll never leave him unattended with them. But, it was a scary ordeal.
Oh, glad he's okay.
Buddy, he got into the Vicodin.
He's so agreeable.
Glad he's okay, Rob.
Yeah, thank you very much. So
very glad.
Well, we love him very much, and he is so much calmer now.
That's good. Yeah, the Zoloft is kicking Zoloft.
We're working on the endorsement deal.
You know, honey, we took him to the emergency room. This stuff works.
You know, I bet they do get parents, though, because we're such a pill-nutty goddamn company. I'm sure they get
the
parents in there.
Do. The doctors, child psychologists that do it.
No. Right, here you go. What? Oh, no. Your kid refuses to do what you say?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a bottle of pills.
I would have just, I'm so glad I wasn't the one dealing with the pharmacist who said, I wouldn't give a two-year-old any stronger than 25 milligrams.
The druggist.
The druggist.
We live in a pill society. It's not like when we grew up when my mom would just give me gin.
Tussin.
No, just gin.
No. Just gin?
Yes. No. Gordon's gin.
This summer, keep him away from the barbecue.
I'll go up like a paint factory.
Robert's glowing.
This is my son, Mesquite.
Robert in blackface.
That I wish I could have seen.
Oh, man. Then they give him the tube. Ooh, that's tough.
That is bad news.
All right. Well, glad he's okay, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you
for sharing that with
us. And, of course, when Rob asked him if he'd learned his lesson, he said yes.
Yes, no. Yes, no. We got to break. We'll be right back. Thank you, Dennis Franz.
Yeah.
He was on our
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our campaign's been broke for months. Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
The Don and Mike Show.
The gods of air and wind, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
NBC Super Bowl X, Dex, X, IX,
is that 39? Is?
Anyway, in Jacksonville, yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, Jacksonville. We'll have Rich Eisen on the show sometime this week from the Super Bowl. Rich brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of music and movies you love than Tower.
You had it right.
XXXIX.
XXXIX.
And next year, it's XXXX.
Mm.
Also known as the dress size for the women of WJFK calendar.
Oh, dear. Is this 39?
Yes, it is. All right. Same as Beth Ann's age.
Mm-hmm.
And holding. Super Bowl fever. Do you have it?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Uh-huh.
On a road to victory.
On a road.
Eagles.
I think next year it might be Super Bowl XL. 10 before 50 being 40.
You are correct. You are correct, sir. Right. XL? Yeah, like
XL.
Extra large.
I think also good for the calendar.
Well,
but I know that.
For the petite section.
The up-and-comers.
XL. www.donandmikewebsite.com. Buzz, I noticed that you never speak when we talk about the calendar with the women who work here.
Well, first of all, I think it's unfounded and unfair. The women here are beautiful. All
hey,
of
Robbie,
them.
Would you pick that up? I bet that's
the calendar.
William Bush, and I'll tell you that donandmikewebsite.com is up, and look at this, what it says today.
What?
On the front page, Don and Mike News, happy birthday, Beth Ann McBride.
You know, I tell you, that would make me want to go right to the store and get a nice souvenir.
And then it says, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine. You are gone but not forgotten, oh, my darling Clementine. So we've got some real happening stuff on our website right now.
I guess we'll have, in the next couple of weeks, a nice going-away party to go to. A Clementine Tran going-away party.
And if you'd like to buy Beth Ann a gift, our souvenir shop, as always, as Mike mentioned, is open.
She looked good in that jacket. Gift shop.
So would Robin. Time now for Billy Bush from Access Hollywood tonight here in D.C., NBC 4 at 7:30 around the country. Country, please check your local listings. Billy.
Dude.
Tonight, I know you're going to be all over Dave last night.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, Dave's tribute last night. We did a nice little thing on it.
I thought it was beyond cool. It was classy. It was everything that you'd expect. Are you able to, on your show tonight, are you going to be able to compare it to Leno's show?
What we're going to do is, it's a lot of NBC stations we're on, so, but we are syndicated. No matter, so we're doing it honest. We're doing it justice. We're doing it what it should be done. It's great.
The thing that I noticed was that when Leno was doing his thing, it looked like he was reading a card, and again, my opinion, and pretending to cry, whereas Letterman came across as...
Yeah, he was like he was trying to keep his emotions in check, but it was a heartfelt tribute.
A real guy.
He had a relationship with Johnny. I mean, in the monologue last night, every joke in the monologue were jokes from the last few months that Johnny had sent him. They had a relationship. The only TV appearances Carson did after he retired was on Letterman.
You know, we were talking in the office before the show about Ed McMahon, who was kind of a conspicuous absentee on Letterman's show.
And not that we were counting, but did not have his name mentioned one time last night.
Actually, wasn't mentioned. Show. And I guess Ed's kind of still an NBC guy, right?
Yeah, I think he's sort of, he's a company guy, and he's loyal to the network, and you can respect that. They were very good to him, and he good to them for years. But in this case, Johnny was a little, did it his way, and Dave, look at Dave's life. Is almost, I mean, to see how much he loved Carson and how much, he's reclusive like Johnny. He doesn't go out, he doesn't do interviews like Johnny. He's modeled his life and his career after Johnny. The guy completely idolized Carson in every way.
And it came through, I think, on the broadcast last night.
Absolutely.
And he was on, Dave was on vacation when this happened. I can guarantee you every day of his vacation, that's all he thought about was what he was going to do when he came back and did his Carson tribute.
All right, so tonight you guys will, I know you, as you mentioned, you're on a bunch of NBC stations, so you got to be political about it. Are you going to mention the ratings from last night?
What ratings? On what ratings?
The overnights from Letterman.
On Letterman versus Leno last night?
You know, I don't know if we did that or not. I can't remember.
Well, I know, but
no, we didn't. No, we did not compare the ratings.
Who won?
Letterman.
I'm leaving
got,
that to you.
Letterman got a 6. Leno had a 4.9.
Well,
John, you know, more famous dead people need to die for Letterman.
Yeah.
By the way, let's be honest here. Carson got a 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when Leno did his, and Leno doubled his viewership on that Monday night, and that was Carson.
Yeah, John
right.
did that too.
All right. Yeah. Well yeah. said. All right.
And by the way, Carson got us a nice big buff too.
Yeah. There you go. Johnny keeps giving.
I have a new saying. Where's Johnny?
All right, everybody. Pleased to be watching Billy tonight. Access Hollywood around the country, and you're on your way down to Stinky Jacksonville, right?
Tomorrow, I'm catching a plane to Jacksonville. I'll be there tomorrow night.
You'll love it.
It's going to be. I'm very sorry you boys aren't going to be there.
Make sure you bring a very heavy winter jacket, Billy.
Is it cold?
I'm not kidding. I saw the dudes on the NFL channel today.
Very cold.
All of them wearing overcoats.
So not only is it really a small town with only 1,200 hotel rooms, it's cold.
Yeah, but the cold weather, the cold
this
air.
Is a disgrace.
The cold air actually keeps the smell down.
Let's go. Let's go for Tagliabue's head on a stick.
All right, meet you at Applebee's.
It's all that's available.
That's yeah. right.
Bye.
Enjoy.
You, Billy, I guarantee.
He's gone.
He won't be staying at the Four Seasons this time.
No, I don't think so.
That's where he was for the whole Trump thing.
No, I think he's going to be on one of the cruise ships, guys.
Regis
Philbin.
Regis.
Oh, you know, we didn't mention that when we were talking about that show.
Yeah.
Was, you know, I mean, and I know it was a setup line about Regis, you know, you could push Regis around.
Oh, I think that was
totally BS.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, no, I disagree.
You think he was being legit about Regis?
They were talking about, David Letterman and Peter LaSalle were talking about who's the biggest icon now.
Right.
Or the biggest star, and the name Regis came up, and Letterman said, you can push him around.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what he really thinks.
Yeah, I agree.
I do. Anyway, here's just a little bit of Letterman last night.
Okay.
You got the part that I thought was the best?
I think this is.
Is it this one or was it this one? The one about everybody? I think it was this one. About everybody copies Johnny?
But the Tonight Show didn't really become the Tonight Show until Johnny Carson started to host it. And he created the template for that show. And everybody else who was doing a show, myself included, we're all kind of secretly doing Johnny's Tonight Show. And the reason we're all doing Johnny's Tonight Show is because you think, well, if I do Johnny's Tonight Show, maybe I'll be a little like Johnny, and people will like me more. But it sadly doesn't work that way.
You know, listen, that's really why is why Letterman was brilliant last
yeah.
night. And he made a real
class.
Statement, and
yeah.
then he can follow it up with a funny line.
Yeah, yeah. And Letterman is, I think, has proven once again that he is pretty much a class act yeah. when it comes to being on TV.
And also, I'm sure, if given the chance, he would have performed homosexual acts on Johnny Carson.
Oh, absolutely.
If Johnny ever called and said, Dave, I'd like you to come out to Malibu, and I'd like you to do something with me.
Sure. The clips would have been different then. The thing that I took away from that is I don't think there's anyone on TV now better that just talks. If someone has to sit down and talk off the cuff.
Right.
And he did the same thing after 9/11.
Yep.
When he is just being himself and talking,
yep.
he's really, really good.
He
really?
Was, I think, you don't think Will Thomas from Channel 5 is better?
Someday.
He's also very good.
I think Letterman after 9/11 was as good as anybody that I heard on TV.
I agree.
Here he is again last night about Johnny. Everybody loves Johnny.
Is there anybody that good?
No, sir.
There's nobody that good, and maybe one day there will be somebody that good, but right now, all of us doing these shows combined collectively are not that good.
Wow.
And you get the feeling that in the case of Johnny's show, people actually watched it. In the case of our show, you get the feeling people are just kind of putting up with it. You know?
I mean,
when you see the two of us together, would you rather watch my show or his show? No, I'd rather watch his show, for God's sake.
Again, funny and true.
Yeah. And that bit that he played where they were taking Letterman's old truck, that was funny.
Oh, my. And if you watch that, if you've got that TiVo'd, watch it again, because I caught a detail. Buzz, were you able to check that detail out since we spoke about the Letterman show, about the inside of his truck?
No, I'll have to go back and look again. It looked to me like just shredded upholstery.
On the Johnny Carson show, Letterman was a guest, and he was driving a beat-up old beater, like Chevy or Ford pickup truck.
Yeah, red.
Johnny Carson had it towed and brought to the studio, and when you look at the inside of the truck, and at one point Johnny Carson says to these guys,
they show a clip of
the interior.
Yeah, the interior.
Uh-huh. the interior has got a bunch of, like, Jeff Spicoli-like rugs.
Yeah, it's got towels on it. Like, is that what it is?
Like what a stoner does in his car.
Exactly. And it's on there because the seats are basically shredded.
Right, yeah, yeah. And you can put your hand through the seat,
and apparently that is what Letterman, like, cruised around in when he was out there.
Yeah.
In his quirky days, but, like, he hasn't gotten more quirky.
He's still dressed weird, even in the clips. Yeah. You know, he's got, like, the blue blazer, and he's got the big Adidas with the three stripes on him. And,
right.
And you watch him on his show now, and he's got, like, these incredibly low-hanging cotton white socks.
And he'll wear a designer suit, a double-breasted suit, and really, really nice shoes, and then a pair of white tube socks.
Uh-huh. And sometimes the shoes aren't even nice. I'm sorry, Buzz.
He's always done this. No, it's just the way he is.
He's your friend.
Who's that?
Dave.
Dave. Here is Dan.
My friend Dave.
Dan, who was at the Letterman show, he says last night. Dan.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, what were you doing at the Letterman show?
I just came about it by chance. Wow. I had filled out the online form a year ago, and they called me, and I said, sure, I'll go, because I knew the importance of the show, and I've been a big fan for years.
Wow.
So, now, I was lucky to be there. I was struck, though. I mean, it was funny, and it was very heartfelt and well-spoken, but when the camera went off, especially the part in the end with Doc Severinsen, he was quite cold. He didn't really talk to him at all after the show or in the breaks or anything, and he seemed, he even left during that musical interlude. He left the stage and just was folding his arms in the corner and went off stage and came back to the end. He may have been.
Or maybe he had emotion that he didn't want to show.
That would speak to exactly how Johnny was. I mean, that's what it is, guys. It's
Johnny.
What you're seeing is what's on camera. You know, otherwise you're not going to get the behind-the-scenes warm and fuzzy.
And how many times has Letterman seriously said, you know, I asked him, he's like, what would Johnny do?
Yeah.
What would Johnny do?
When I saw the Letterman show when we were in New York, it's the same thing. He doesn't talk during the break.
Right.
There's blaring music. He looks very cold and disinterested until the camera comes on.
Here he is
again.
That's
what it is.
It was always my impression, even before I got to know how things were working out there, that Johnny Carson was bigger than NBC, bigger than television. And you must have had a sense of that working there. I mean, you felt that way, I'm sure.
Peter LaSalle.
Well, the nice thing about working under those conditions is the network wouldn't bother me.
Right.
And incidentally, this guy's next to go. Yeah. But if you want a tribute show.
I didn't think he was going to see Tuesday.
Watching Peter LaSalle last night, I went back once again to that movie, The Late Shift.
Yeah.
And the guy they cast as Peter LaSalle
pretty good.
Was perfect.
And that guy is like an actor. What do they call those guys?
Character actor, right?
Yeah, the guy who's not a star, but every time you see him, you go, oh, yeah, I know that dude.
Right. Right.
You know what else was cool last night is they used the old bumper cards.
Yes.
The More to Come cards.
I
thought that was another really understated
And at the end of the song, when they played Johnny's favorite song, which I still don't know the
title. Which Doc Severinsen didn't know the name of.
It's something about rain. Here comes the rain.
What's great, if I could just mention to anybody who didn't see it. They say, okay, here's Doc Severinsen. He's going to play Johnny's all-time favorite song. So the band plays, and it's real good. And then Letterman says, what's the name of that song? And Doc Severinsen says, I don't know.
It was hysterical.
I don't know.
But the cutaway right after that, where they had the silhouette of Johnny, was well done.
On the rainbow
curtain. Almost made you pause for a second.
Yeah.
You know, I almost did a second take where I'm like, what's, because that's what they were doing.
It was a good show. He's a good guy.
Good guy. Who's a good guy?
Dave Letterman is a good guy.
Thank you. It's a luxury that isn't always there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, I'd just say, well, that's the way Johnny wants it, and it would be the end of the discussion.
That's the one thing that Letterman said that I thought was a little, hanky. Yeah, Johnny was a luxury. Like a luxury that we all, like being able to turn on a light switch is a luxury. I don't think turning on Channel 4 at 11:30 and seeing Johnny Carson's a luxury.
Did you get the impression that Peter LaSalle guy, seriously, that they had to drag him on that set with hooks?
Absolutely.
I mean, this man does not want to be on television.
Well, I think, I don't know which one of you guys I was telling this, on the day that Carson died, I turned on CNN. It was before the football games, before the two championship
Sunday,
games.
Yeah.
And it was after Buzz hit me, the fact that Carson had died, and Peter LaSalle was doing a phoner on CNN, and every question they asked him, he answered with such an angry sound in his voice.
Right.
And I thought, why are you being interviewed about Johnny Carson? But then I read later that he did it because, you know, like everybody, he loves Johnny. He worships at the temple of Johnny.
Yeah, he probably owed it to Johnny to go on.
But he didn't want to do it. He just ended up sounding angry.
He was a total behind-the-scenes guy that did not want to be in front of the camera.
Speaking of CNN, we almost forgot to mention that when Johnny died, a producer, a young, I guess, researcher at CNN, picked up the phone to get some reaction and immediately, right away, called Rodney Dangerfield's house.
There you go. CNN.
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah. Hello.
I've been trying to think if there is a as big a star on television today as Johnny, and I don't think so.
Let me stop right there. Who's the guy on Still Standing?
Oh, Mark Addy?
If you have to ask.
Or Leah Remini.
No, no. Larry Elder.
Who's Larry Elder?
The guy with the talk show. I think it's Larry Elder.
The brother?
Yeah. Larry Elder's show.
You know who else is good is the kid on 2 and a Half Men. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he can sing.
He can.
He is good.
He's sexy.
Men.
Michael Jackson thinks he's sexy.
Yeah.
Hi. And me.
I tell you who comes close to mind, and people will probably laugh about this, but...
Okay, now we're going to guess again. Who's the biggest name on TV now as compared to Johnny Carson?
All right, I know the answer to this. I know what he's going to say, but I'm going to still guess, because I really think there is somebody that we've been ignoring.
Really?
Well, just trying to think of the worst possible show.
You can hear right now. Do you hear that humming sound coming out of your radio? It's three brains trying to come up with the funniest answer.
Fear Factor's right Joe Rogan would be mine.
Okay, like, is that? Are you in on this? I mean, if we're playing poker, you're anteing in with Joe Rogan. Someone's got to do better than Joe Rogan. Mike.
Holly Morris.
I was going to go Rogan.
The poodle.
Thank you. Thank you.
J.C. Hayward. But again, it's local. It's with her wig. A lot of you don't know that J.C. Hayward is a woman who wears King Tut wigs on Channel 9 when she does the news.
If you want someone folksy, someone who can communicate and make you feel at home,
yes,
Joe Witte.
Well, I think you have to look to a veteran with experience. I'd say Jim Vance.
Jim Vance, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Now, no one except people in D.C.
We went all local.
All right, never
local.
Mind. All right, Dana, what is the answer? Who is the answer?
Somebody who is nearly as good as Johnny.
Who is it?
Regis Philbin. And I think Regis does a tremendous job, but the difference that you just pointed out is you can push Regis around.
He means that.
That was a great. That was. A
oh, you
great
know
moment.
He means that.
You know,
too.
And that was the one moment when Peter LaSalle almost seemed to be himself.
Yeah.
Because he laughed. He smiled at that.
Absolutely.
That was not a comfortable.
He hated being on TV. Yeah.
Hello, Johnny. Here's another guy named Johnny. Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
Hey,
Johnny.
Hey. Good afternoon to you.
Hi.
Hey, I catch the show from time to time, but I noticed last night that when he was talking to the camera, he was looking down a lot and really wasn't making eye contact.
And I think that is what separates Letterman from Leno. Leno was reading off cards, off a prompter.
This is a guy that is very uncomfortable with his emotions.
And had the fake... Leno had the fake crime. Letterman had a card in front of him that obviously had topics he wanted to touch on. When he was looking down, I don't believe he was reading.
No.
He was speaking from the heart.
I know exactly what he was doing.
It almost looked as if he was maybe holding back.
He was holding back. Well, all he was doing, I really do believe, when he was there, he's proven once before when he came after the heart surgery that he's an emotional guy.
Uh-huh.
He was probably just trying to keep that in check.
Yep.
And when you're thinking about that, it's almost a physically painful experience.
It'd be great. We could go, hi, everybody. Thank you for the...
yeah.
Johnny, I always wanted you, Johnny.
I could see it happening.
Johnny.
Don't go.
Johnny, I got to have your ashes. We love you, Johnny.
I need the jokes.
Don't leave, Johnny.
Johnny.
Andrew, Don and Mike show. Andrew.
Don and Mike, you would not believe it.
What?
As of about 5 minutes ago, they were selling a microdermabrasion kit on the Home Shopping Network for $19.95.
For Beth Ann's birthday?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, that's a little too expensive for
us. On that note, I want to send this one out to Beth Ann and her song.
Oh, dear. Oh, song.
Thank you.
Well, that was Johnny's favorite song.
Oh. Is that it?
A strum.
That's all. A chord? One chord.
Look, Chris, Don and Mike show.
Thanks, Doc.
You guys are missing the obvious. I mean, to me, I think the Johnny Carson of our time would either be George Lopez or TV's Morris Jones.
All right, now.
Oh, Mojo.
We all should have gone with the George Lopez.
Yes, George Lopez is the one.
With the blues.
I got the blues. Chase my blues away.
Okay, we have to break. The guy that's coming on next is Guy Horowitz.
Oh, yeah, Mark Horowitz. Remember him?
No.
What the hell is his deal?
No, I do remember him. He's the guy that had a list of how many, 1,000 things he wanted. He's the guy that wanted to take a Camaro and impact it in Lucite.
Right, and yeah. The reason that we are talking to him is he was an assistant on a photo shoot for the Pottery Barn, and they had a blackboard, and he wrote on it, Dinner with Mark.
Remember this guy? We had him on the show.
And his cell phone number. Mm-hmm. And he got like 1,000 calls, people wanting to go to dinner with him. And he's starting his dinner tour in his sweet RV.
Well, I don't think he's quite right.
No, he's a nice boy.
We'll have him. He's a nice boy. Oh, and speaking of nice boys.
Yes?
According to Jim, also on today's show.
Oh, your brother.
That's right. With my
brain dead brother.
He is a nice boy.
He's a nice boy.
One thing before we go to a break, and I'm going to have to save the feel good and everything for tomorrow, but Blockbuster Video. No more late fees.
Right.
They have the most retarded list. Now, I can't blame Blockbuster. I got to blame the people who go to Blockbuster.
All right.
For filling out this survey about the most romantic movie moments of all time.
Oh, good.
Here you go. The top five.
This is all romance.
It's a tie at number five.
All right.
The Wedding Singer, where Adam Sandler sings to Drew Barrymore in First Class. Okay. Tied with Sweet Home Alabama when Reese Witherspoon and Josh Lucas kiss on the beach.
That's BS.
Then you have When Harry Met Sally, when Billy Crystal finally gets it on with Meg Ryan.
All right.
This is the most romantic moments by you idiots that go to Blockbuster. Number three, and this is the one that makes me want to just take everybody's Blockbuster card, burn it in front of them, and then give them a colonoscopy with it.
All right.
The movie that you morons, you idiots, you bottom feeders think is the third most romantic goddamn movie of all time is You've Got Mail.
Oh, come on.
You've Got Mail. That's
another Meg Ryan?
Not just surprised.
Say to people, get it on your forehead. Mm-hmm. I'm a retard. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Number two, Titanic.
Oh, that's obvious. I expect that to be on
the number one most romantic movie of all time, according to Blockbuster Video, is We Girls.
Well, they got that one right.
Yeah. The number one is Ghost.
Ah, yeah.
The stupid pottery scene.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are a few more that are better than that.
Oh, they're all better than that. But I don't know which one gives me the red ass more. You've Got Mail, simply because I've seen the movie. And listen, all of you that love Dave Chappelle and think he's so freaking cutting edge, and I agree.
Yep.
Watch this movie and watch this great man sell out. Watch the great Dave Chappelle, the man who, I'm Rick James, but watch him put on his show for you.
So they have that. That's the top five list.
Yes, but the one that gets me more than You've Got Mail is The Wedding Singer.
Well, what gets me is they skipped the most romantic movie of all time.
Are we going to play this game now?
Good Burger.
A different kind of romance.
Every single scene in Good Burger and Barbershop.
Are you making this a black thing?
No, I just happen to have Good Burger and Barber Shop.
Because now that you've mentioned Good Burger and Barber Shop, I'm totally out of black genre movies. those are the only black genre movies that
I can
think of.
Here he comes. Here he comes, literally running to the microphone.
Are you gonna say Ice Cube?
Yeah, what's number two in the nation?
Ice Cube.
That's very romantic.
I'm kidding.
But it's not Ice Cube. It's the title of the movie. Are We There Yet?
But that's not as romantic as my favorite movie.
What?
Mommy Dearest.
You know what my favorite movie is? Rob's got food in his mouth.
I didn't know we were going to go here.
Yeah. If you'd known.
Opened up my sandwich.
Would have been different.
I like it when you try to keep it like in the lower jaw, like a pelican. Yeah. We're not gonna notice. Look at it. He's got it.
Like, you know what it looks like? You look like you've got some of that chewing tobacco.
Is that it?
That's what it looks like.
They won't know what I'm eating now.
Did you put the food in your mouth?
Did he put the food in his mouth? He's got a whole shovel full in there.
Yes, no.
Yes, no. It's
1-2.
It's charcoal. I'm gonna spit it out.
Pills. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Billy Bush.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny Carson, for dying so that we could have this great moment on the show.
Yeah. And thank you, Rob, for eating a whole trout while we were doing this show.
And we'll be back with this Horowitz dude coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I'm Mike LaFontaine, owner and founder of High Class Management. Whoops! Comics' constant companion. Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, I started on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kickville.
Don't be hating the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hello, Tony. This is the Don and Mike Show. Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Good to talk to you. My sister.
Listen, I'll let it go this time. It's not a phone scam, but don't ask how we're doing.
Yeah, and it was almost unnoticeable, okay. But you did notice it.
Yeah.
Let you go with a warning.
And so did you. Mm-hmm. So did everybody out there with a pulse. You know how we're doing. What?
My sister is an esthetician, and she would like to come down and give BA a facial.
Bingo. Perfect.
Oh, we've gotten many calls of people who want to come down and give BA a facial.
I'm not that kind of facial.
All right, hold on.
She's an esthetician.
No, I'm not going to take that. Forget it. Let one of our listeners come down and touch Beth Ann.
Hello?
You don't want that, do you?
Well, I mean, thank you for the kind offer. I do appreciate it.
Hey, how you doing, retard? I call her that. She came in the studio with a Post-it on her forehead. Said, I'm a retard.
I am a retard.
I said, why do you have that on your head? And she said, because she likes the movie You Got Mail.
Yeah.
You think it should be on that list?
Yeah.
Retard.
Oh, you are a retard. And happy birthday, incidentally.
Thank you.
And Paul Gorgie, the sales guy that you really just melt like butter over?
No, I don't. I just think he's good looking. I like him.
You got a birthday hug from him, right?
I did, and it was very genuine, and he was smiling, and he's got beautiful teeth, and I was glad to see his teeth, and he does have very muscular arms.
But he was unaware of you talking about his body.
The quote from Beth Ann was, she said, I just got a hug from Paul Gorgie, and she's talking to some broad back there about him, and she said, hold on, I wrote it down. He's cute.
Well, this woman said.
He's cute, but shallow.
Shallow, I said. And I said, no. I said, to me, he's just what he is. He's exactly what he is.
So you don't mind the shallowness?
Not at all. It's refreshing.
Because he's so good looking.
Yeah, he is.
But listen, we're shallow.
Yeah.
Me and Mike are like kings of shallow. How come you don't like us more? Is it because we're not cute like Paul Gorgie?
The teeth, the tan, the muscles.
Maybe.
Is that it?
The best
that's
money
it.
Can buy.
Because, Beth Ann, you are aware of the fact that both of us, we are 2 inches deep and 10 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
does PG ever suck the energy out of you?
PG.
Rated PG.
No, he gives me what you sucked out, he puts back in.
Oh,
wow.
Rob sucks the life out of you?
Every day.
Beth Ann does say that to Rob an awful lot. Yeah. Rob, you suck the life out of me.
And you know what? You got co-credit today, too. She said the two of us together.
Oh,
yeah. It was unbearable.
Really?
Yeah.
Unbearable.
So we got like crazy straws.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a race to see who can suck the life out of Beth Ann fastest.
But you'll be happy to know whenever that happens, Paul Gorgie just injects it back in.
Thank God, because in my pantry at home, I have many quarts of life that I have sucked out and put in the jar.
While you guys were just talking, Paul Gorgie just came by and gave me a gift.
What did he give you?
Chlamydia?
He gave me my favorite.
What's that?
A piece of bazooka.
Oh, a piece of bazooka.
That's the
thing. When you got a guy, that's like a male-looking model.
Hey, baby, here's some bazooka gum for you. Hey,
there you go.
I found this on the floor.
Think about this. It smells like my aftershave. You like that, baby? I'm Paul Gorgie. Chew it. Think of me.
Whatever. I'll never change my mind.
Paul Gorgie, back there in the producer's room, if he really wants to give you a birthday present, have him take his shirt off for you. Seriously.
Do that.
Or we could ask him for you.
No.
He doesn't have to come in here. We don't want to see it, but he could go back there.
His arms are so hard.
Seriously, would you like...
I have an hour and a half that I have to work, you know?
Wouldn't you like to see Paul Gorgie with his shirt off?
No,
yes,
no, I don't.
Yes,
why not?
Yes, you
of
would.
Course you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would, Beth Ann. You Maybe. Love Paul Gorgie. You think he's cute.
I do. I think he's a good-looking guy.
Well, and this show generates a lot of revenue. We put a lot of money in his pocket. Why don't we have Mr. Gorgie come down there and take his shirt off for you?
No, I don't want that.
Rip it off.
I'm sure he's got a tan.
He could, like, do the Hulk thing for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You know, go, and then whip his shirt off.
He gave me my bazooka. That's enough.
No, that's not enough.
He wants to give you his
yeah.
bazooka.
Hey,
trust me.
For me.
Although I don't think it's a bazooka.
Maybe you guys want to see him with his shirt off.
When you open that,
maybe you're right.
When you open that bazooka, see if he can explain the joke inside to you.
No, his have like your horoscope.
Oh
yeah.
Because he's buying you cheap gum.
No, he's buying me great gum. This is my favorite. That's how Paul Gorgie knows me. And he knows
you so desperately need a real man in your life.
You do.
So desperately need a real man. You are sitting back there. You're happy that it's some guy with a painted-on suntan mm-hmm. gave you a piece of goddamn bubblegum for your birthday.
Yep.
When you should have demanded that he strip.
No.
He peel off that white button-down shirt.
That JCPenney dress shirt.
Reveal a place.
Not JCPenney.
Reveal a place where you can talk.
Hold on a second. Wait, well, how do you know it's not JCPenney?
Because he likes to shop like Neiman Marcus and stuff.
How do you know that?
How do you know that?
How do you know that?
Because sometimes he gets cataloged at the station, and otherwise, oh, this is
Beth Ann.
You mean when you're going through everybody's mailboxes before everybody gets here in the morning?
It's a good producer.
And you're so naive. Just because he gets catalogs means he shops there. No, he
does. I think he's worth it.
I think he used to work there.
Well, you know, there's only one way of finding out. We'll take a look at the collar on the inside of his shirt after he takes it off.
I bet it's a nice designer.
What if he had a copy of Blue Boy magazine out there? Would you think that he's a subscriber? Or
that would be Tan Boy.
Well, where is this guy? Where is this Paul Gorgie?
We never have Gorgie on the show.
Never.
That's a good thing.
He was here. He's been running around. He's doing that fake busy thing they all do here.
Beth Ann?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you get him and bring him on in here?
No.
Please?
He's working.
Come on, bring in those glassy dead eyes.
Beth Ann, this is a guest we'd like to have on the show.
Yes. An emergency booking.
I'll ask him. Hold a second.
Now bring him in here.
No, you're not going
to
ask him. Bring
you
him
bring
to
Bring him
us.
In here.
Okay, bye.
Fine. And
Paul Corky.
Here is
Paul Corky.
Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hi, Dynamite.
Hi there.
I'm a first-time caller. I've listened to you guys since the summer of 2001.
Okay, less bio and more call, please.
I know that number is 77 for the New York Giants. There was a guy named Eric Dorsey who played on the 86 Giants.
You know what? That's the guy.
Is that the guy you
really? Eric Dorsey.
This is from last week.
Eric Dorsey, you did it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Put that issue to bed.
Eric Dorsey played on the 86 team.
Craig.
Oh, hey. Hold on a second. Hold on, Craig.
All right, here comes Paul Gorgie.
Hold on a second. Here's Beth Ann with the incredibly good-looking sales guy.
Finally.
Paul Gorgie. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
This is a first for me.
Yes.
Look at
what,
Beth
what's
Ann.
What's that, Beth Ann? You were leaning in and saying something off microphone, which you, the first word. What did you say?
What did you say, Beth Ann?
That's my Paul Gorgie right there.
That's her Paul Gorgie. Listen to her chew on that gum.
Yeah.
She is imagining that gum as you. Really, and she vigorously chews on it. Now, B.A., would you get back in here for a second, please? Because you know Paul.
Has B.A. told you that she wants to bring you to her apartment and hobble you?
No.
Hobble?
That would be new information.
Really?
I didn't know that.
You've never been aware of the fact that she is interested in you?
Listen, Paul.
She has
tell
a lot
what.
Of nice things to say about me. I know that.
Yeah. Paul, yeah. I think that... wouldn't you like to be more comfortable? Take that overcoat off?
I gotta go.
Couldn't you just... Listen, I don't want to see this. Mike doesn't want to see this.
No.
Buzz doesn't want to. If you would just turn, move your tie, unbutton a couple buttons on your shirt, and let her just...
Just for her.
Let her just touch your six-pack abs.
Just for her.
You're twisting my words.
Because it's her birthday.
I'm not so sure it's a six-pack.
It's her birthday.
Oh, I bet it in my dreams.
How did you hear that now? There was some real Beth Ann. I bet it is in my dreams, she said.
Oh, come on. Look at
what is the again, Beth Ann? Say it into the microphone again.
That's my Paul Gorgie right there.
She's chewing on her chaw. Yeah.
That's my Paul Gorgie.
All right.
Paul Gorgie.
Would you just let Beth Ann put a finger in your shirt, like in between the buttons?
No, I will not do that.
How about a big, nice hug?
I've had that.
Oh, but yeah, let's get a public. Let's get a PDA here.
Yeah, go ahead. A hug.
No,
yeah, a hug for us. A hug.
Yeah, there you go, Paul. Go for
go
it.
Go for it,
yeah.
Paul.
Feel those muscles.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yeah.
A leg up. Yeah.
Yeah, he did it.
That's all you're going to get from Paul today.
And would you just give Beth Ann a kiss on the cheek?
No.
On microphone?
No.
Come on, B.A.
No, don't do that to me.
doing?
Come on, why?
She just stepped out of her comfort zone, I believe.
What is he doing?
I'm pushing
over there.
Kiss her on the cheek.
No, I don't want him to kiss me on the
happy
cheek.
Birthday.
How about on the hand?
I can do it. Don has left his station.
Right hand or left hand?
Geronimo has left his station.
Kiss her on her hand.
Happy
Paul.
Birthday.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Those lips.
Those lips, yeah.
Those lips.
That's her Paul Gorgie.
I do have some soup coolers.
All right, there we go.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming. Nice talking
there
with you.
There he is, the handsome but shallow
Take
Paul
care.
Gorgie.
Just, Take care.
Just no accounting. Stiff.
What the hell is a soup cooler?
What did he mean by that?
Is that a lip reference?
What did that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, she's rubbing her hand where he kissed it. Look at this.
Her hand is starting to swell.
And you had a little bit of your southern thing when you were saying, that's my Paul Gorgie.
My Paul Gorgie. What do you love
I
so much about that
him.
Jerk? He's just a good-looking guy.
He's not a jerk. He's strong. He's smart. He
Hold
smells
on.
Good.
You said he's shallow.
No, he's not shallow. One person's shallow is another person's smart.
She's wow. having a good birthday. I believe she is. I believe she
Look
is.
Look at her holding her hand. Really?
It's the second time she's cracked my ass.
She's
starting to get a repertoire now where I like it. Can we hear the Clementine Hi, Beth Ann, please?
Hi, Beth Ann.
Perfect. And now you're Paul Gorgie with the Gorgie gum?
Oh, God, that kills me.
That's my Paul Gorgie.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Highly entertaining week for you, Beth Ann.
Happy birthday to Beth Ann.
Oh, that one hurt.
She needs a man.
Yes, she does, but she's on a roll today.
God damn, she needs a man.
Jesus.
Hello, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Hey, look, last night, 11:30, I was trying to name with that.
That's right, you said how you do it.
Yeah.
And now I should have hung up on you because Dennis has it. We should have done this with Paul Gorgie. Dennis.
Hey, you guys forgot to check the label of the shirt to see if it was Neiman Marcus.
Ah, we
right.
did, yeah, but I didn't want to reach into that.
Beth Ann does, though.
Yeah, you could have let B.A. do it.
No, that's the part of him, you know, that probably smells like baby.
Oh, like Morris.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Rob?
Yeah.
That sour smell.
You mean like the smell of the soft spot?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like baby powder, like Morris Jones.
No, I'm talking about like sweat and all that. Yeah.
And incidentally, I know that soft spot on the baby's head,
yes.
That is a funky smell because I smelled that on my son like the first week he was home. When I would flip out and think,
really?
If I put my finger and I really inserted some pressure, that like I scratch my fingernail on his brain.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I would sit there. He's a little baby, 20 years old.
I normally don't bring the lady that I'm seeing into this show, but I will tell you, after 2 days, sans hygiene this weekend, after a very big Friday night, I was accused of smelling like a baby. And it was not in, hey, you smell like my baby. It was more like, you smell like a baby.
Oh, dear.
I never noticed a smell of the soft spot. I did notice that if you hugged Robert real hard, his top of his head would bulge. Sweet boy, strong.
Just like a novelty.
Yes, no.
Pills. Yes, no pills. Medicine.
Dennis, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
I had to do my civil duty here and come to the mailman's defense yesterday.
And Carl Malone? Who said anything about Carl Malone?
Carl Malone?
The mailman.
No, not the mailman, Carl Malone.
Are you talking about the Kevin Costner movie, The Postman?
No, I'm talking about the mailman that's always on the show.
Oh, Robert.
Oh, and while we're on the subject, Robert, I got your two movies that are supposed to be legitimate, and I am telling the listening audience right now that I believe that there is a strong chance that they're going to be pornographic. And I wanted to say that publicly so you know that I'm on to you before I take them home.
Robert dropped off a couple of discs from, like, one of them allegedly is Hotel Rwanda.
Yes, and the other one is... what is it? Jack Johnson.
Check out the
Jack Johnson, who's the story about the black fighter. And I want to watch
CD
both.
CD box.
Yeah, I know the CD box doesn't look too good.
It's like about a million years old.
CD box looks like it's gone on a fantastic voyage through someone's inside.
They are both movies I want to watch, and I just have a feeling I'm going to put it in there, sit down, and all of a sudden it's going to be
See, Robert Mailman.
Big Mamas.
Robert Mailman said to Mike, I can hook you up with copies of movies that are out in theaters now.
Right.
Mike said, I want to see Hotel Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
Robert said he's got to see this other movie, and Mike is concerned that it's going to be like Sex with Black Midgets.
I just want to, you know, let him know that
is a great movie, incidentally.
Sure. If it happens, I'm on to him.
And, you know, I have a hunch, if you put that in your DVD player, your entire home entertainment system will seize.
Anyway, well, Dennis, what about Robert?
Well, I just think Robert adds so much to the show every time he's on. And
oh, he does.
Promised the jacket.
He's a tremendous talent.
It's a quality piece of merchandise.
Maybe you didn't listen when we said about the jacket?
Yeah,
we were lying about
jacket.
That. Right, bye. We're not giving you a jacket now. Please, it's $150. Go to the website.
I do agree with one thing that gentleman said, though. It is a quality piece of merchandise.
True enough.
No question.
You know this guy? We're going to have to put him off till tomorrow.
I already suspected. I'd let him know.
Yeah.
Because we had the Beth Ann thing there with Gorgie, and I got my brother's all set up to come on the show here in a second.
Yeah, and if you bump your brother, if you postpone him, he doesn't take it well.
No, he's looking forward to being on the show today.
Horowitz, on the other hand, will be, you know, sitting by his phone for 3 days in a row.
Well, he's in his sweet RV.
Yeah. All right, we'll get him on tomorrow.
Yeah, I told him. We'll
and,
tomorrow.
Oh, wait, when we come back, we'll be playing a game with JPS.
Hey!
Jim and I have never played our favorite parlor game, It's All Relative.
Oh, very exciting.
Where, you know, we have to answer questions about our family and stuff.
All right, so we'll have to come up with some questions for you guys.
Yes, correct. So we'll have my brother on. What is it? People still calling about the romantic movie? Oh, you know, we never did a phone scan today. Oh, well, too bad.
Yeah.
The show's always better when it's more of us and less of you anyway.
Amen.
Hello, John.
Yeah,
let's hear it for us.
Mike, a few minutes ago, that reminded me of the most romantic movie, Kathy Bates, James Caan, Misery.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
What did Sexy.
What did I just say a minute ago when I said
hobble.
My fam wants to take you home and hobble him?
Hobble.
Oh,
hobble.
Yeah. Hobble. Yeah. No, that was not a Grease Man reference.
You are a giant Grease Man fan. Admit it, Mike.
Everybody knows.
I am. I love him. Oh, and I love his nasty.
Doodad.
listen, anything you want to call that last call is okay with me.
Yeah,
buddy. Okay, buddy.
Well, we may have a trifecta in the works. Pope John Paul II has been taken to a hospital. I just wanted to keep you up to date.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me, that's really not the
not quite an interesting reaction there.
That's not the
well, you're pulling for him.
That's the proper response.
So that would be Johnny Carson, the Pope, and who else?
I don't know.
Urkel.
Wow.
Don't even kid about that.
You said a trifecta. Who would be the trifecta?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
See, I think I mentioned this to Buzz over the weekend that really, because Johnny Carson is so beloved, that whoever fills out this trifecta is going to have
to be the same level
of equal stature.
The Pope.
Well, if you want to go with the trifecta of people who are balding, it could be the Pope, Carson, and Phoebe. From all my
children. Get out of here. Phoebe doesn't count.
Phoebe
doesn't count.
She was beloved.
She was.
I find it hard to believe that the Pope is having any type of health problem.
I think it's a myth.
He's hit it well.
I mean, he really is just a fantastic. You know,
I think it's fixed.
Especially now that he's probably going to croak. I shouldn't say this. But they had a video over the weekend of him.
Yes, careful.
There's something on the internet. Watch it.
No. It was on the news. Like where they're saying, you know, he was not able to. I mean.
He had trouble letting the bird go.
Well, they had a couple of
that was the dove of death.
A couple of doves, and they wanted to, as he was making a speech, and the doves wouldn't fly off this windowsill, and he's just sitting there.
I just saw the still picture.
Yes, he's drooling all over himself, and you know his voice. We never, you know, it's not like hello, this is the Pope. His real voice is like. And he's drooling all over himself.
Yeah, and it's so you think, what are they saying about it?
Well, he's had the flu. He's canceled everything
he's
on his calendar.
He's had the flu since 1980.
Well, there's some truth in that. But this week, the last few days, he's had the flu, and now he's been taken to the hospital where he usually goes.
They've also cleaned out the fireplace in Vatican City.
Yeah, bird flu.
For the smoke.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's right, the white smoke.
Put the balance in the fireplace.
Come on now.
This is good.
That's my Paul Gorgie.
This is good.
Well, they're going to have to watch it.
Smoke.
This is good smoke.
And he's like a record holder, isn't he? He's been there for a long time.
Yeah, the longest, perhaps.
That's a shock to me.
84.
That's a shock that the Pope
I'm shocked he's only 84.
Failing
health. Yeah. He seems like he's 184.
Well,
I nominate Paul Gorgie for Pope.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. With his designer shirt.
He's dreaming.
Kiss my hand.
What is this, an update on the Pope? Aaron.
Yeah,
Aaron.
Oh, I was going to say happy Black History Month, first of all.
Well, of course.
Yeah, of course. We should have started this show. Rob, don't shake your head. We're going to have a day on this show this month devoted to Black History Month with Robert Mailman and Howard G. coming down.
That'll be informative.
Aaron, what do you want about the Pope?
Oh, I just wanted to let you fire up that nursing home, but funeral home tape for him.
Why's that?
Oh, you know. Buzz whipped my ass in the trifecta maneuver, so...
Hold on, hold on. You are calling about the Pope when we've just talked about the Pope.
Oh, yeah, this is about 5 minutes.
Congratulations. You've been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike exclusive Listeners Club.
Joe's got this.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller.
He's on the screen.
Entitled to all the privileges that come with said title. Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign, which is to be placed prominently in your front yard.
We know he's sick.
You have been profiled,
you
tagged,
have.
And you are now in
the book.
The book. Good day.
I said good day, sir.
Good day.
Joe, who's not having the best of days, as you know, put this up on the screen immediately. We started, it says, and in all caps, this guy has an update on the Pope.
Right.
Like we didn't have the news.
Thanks so
sir,
much.
Your name, Sir Aaron, last initial, please.
D.
And where are you calling from, Aaron?
Kansas.
No longer your name shall be Aaron.
What's his name now, Robbie?
Heretofore, you shall be referred to as 00-00-002-8.
Ooh, as we count down to number 30.
And when we hit 30, we're going to have the big D-A-M-E-L-C party.
D-A-M-E-L-C?
Don and Mike Exclusive Listener Club.
Listen, you're in the book, so you can't call us anymore.
Okay, sorry. My mom is Tulsa backwards.
It doesn't matter. Hold on.
My mom is
like
what?
That. Oh, that's good.
Tulsa backwards.
Oh.
A.
N. Got it?
L. A slut.
Yes.
That's great.
Boy.
You know what?
That's one of the nicest moves for a guy that was put in the book.
Yeah. Who says we don't have a heart?
Yeah.
I think we
You going to give him a pardon because of that?
Come on.
Yeah. Got to let the guy go.
I was totally strong enough to give him a pardon. Cut him loose, Rob.
Okay, but there's an asterisk.
The guy already hung up.
Oh, he's back in now.
The guy hung up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Excellent. We were going to let him off the hook.
Oh, wow. Man, that's like the ending of a B-movie.
How stupid am I? I have to write it down. Oh, a slut.
Oh, that's funny. He's out. He's in. He's out. He's in.
Yes. No.
It's kind of like your son with the pills.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
The Don and Mike Show.
98% perfect. All of the time. The Don and Mike Show.
I'm just looking at this thing. It's a little four-page in-house thing that we get.
Oh, yeah.
The
update. The
CBS
newsletter.
CBS news update thing. That we
edited by Richard Wien. The Wien Report.
A weekly newsletter. It's four pages. Would you like to guess, in the four pages, what CBS star is mentioned the most in the CBS Viacom update?
I'll guess.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'll say the Les Moonves.
You are correct.
Wow, good guess.
I will tell you that other stars, like Ray Romano, David Caruso, the cast of Survivor, Craig Ferguson, David Letterman, the cast of Numbers, Dan Rather, they all get their names mentioned one time.
Right.
Right. How many times do you think Leslie Moonves, who's our boss, gets his name mentioned in the CBS Weekly update?
I'm going to say 20.
Buzz?
I'll say 12.
Robbie?
I'll guess something in the middle, 18.
10 times.
10 times.
Wow.
I went over.
How many times is he referred to as Leslie Moonves, co-president and co-COO, Viacom and chairman, CBS, Infinity Broadcasting, CEO?
10 times.
All
of them.
All 10 times.
Yeah. You know, it's shocking that they can afford such a nice publication and still give us that nice holiday bonus.
Isn't that great?
Who gets their picture in more times in this handout? Is it the cast of Survivor? Shannon Elizabeth.
Hot.
Ray Romano. Patty Heaton. Or the cast of Numbers. Or Leslie Moonves.
I'm going to go with Leslie Moonves.
Winner!
Moonves.
No Chen?
He gets his picture. No Julie Chen. His picture is in here once, twice, three, four, five pictures.
On a four-page
Good for
page.
Him. Five pictures of him, and he gets his name mentioned all the time.
Yeah. Right. And is the naming about radio on the first or second page?
Yeah, the new Joel Hollander.
Oh, good.
Got on the front page. He's the new boss of Infinity. Even though Les Moonves has, you know, this is a good exercise.
Yeah.
Let's just count. Joel Hollander has been named executive officer of Infinity Broadcasting. Let's see who gets their names mentioned more in the article about Joel Hollander. Joel Hollander, one. CEO Leslie Moonves, one. Joel Hollander,
two.
Right. Leslie Moonves,
two.
Joel Hollander, three. Leslie Moonves, four, five, six, seven.
Wow.
We have seven.
Bingo.
There's some numbers for you.
Amazing.
Great magazine.
It is. Oh, I love it. It's so good. Joe just saw me going into the John with this. So what are you doing? I said, are you kidding? It's Tuesday afternoon.
You're saving the company money.
I'm going to read what's happening.
Saving the money, the company money on paper products.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's hear it for CBS.
Yeah.
Yay.
Nothing better than cleaning yourself with a glossy.
I'm going to call my brother here, my real-life brother, JPS, James Phillips Orth. He had wanted to be on the show. He called me over the weekend, actually, because he had seen the episode of King of Queens that I was on that you were not on. We were together on one, then I was alone on one. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny, but really not worth a segment. However, playing a game with Jimmy is something we've not done before.
True.
Let's play It's All Relative.
With you and your brother.
With my brother and I, this is where you guys come up with the crazy questions.
Now we can ask them of you or Jimmy. Well, we have to ask them of you, and it's easier that way.
Yes, so you have to ask Jimmy questions of me. I'll answer first.
And if Jimmy matches your answers, then what's he going to win?
He wins a dead animal for everyone he gets correct.
A roadkill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's start with It's All Relative. The questions are always, they always start off being nondescript, and then we end up working up like the, you know.
I have a question before I ask you.
Who would you hump if you could hump anybody in your family?
You guys were together, living together through your, teen years.
Till I moved out at 16.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Mike, what's the first question?
First question would be, Don, who will you say, during your formative years, is the ugliest girl Jimmy ever took out?
Shocking.
See, the thing is, I never... He never liked girls.
He never liked girls. Who was the ugliest boy he ever dated? I
mean, he's no fag.
Can you reverse it? The ugliest girl that Don ever took out?
Oh, he'd say Dawn.
I'm going to make it more generic.
Okay.
Growing up with JPS, what is the stupidest thing he ever did?
Oh, without question, the time that we were out in the backyard of our house... And he set fire to what looked to be a small area, and it ended up being a gigantic field that caught on fire in the back of our house. And we had to lie to our parents about what happened with the fire.
So he basically started a forest fire.
Well, okay. Yeah, you can put it like that.
Very good.
Buzz.
Tribute to tradition here.
Buzz, that almost sounded Porky Pig.
Have a blue. A nod to tradition here. What size underwear will Jimmy say you wear?
Oh, God. Yeah, he doesn't know anything.
Right.
He'll probably say 38.
Okay.
38. Hope he does. That has totally stopped the show. Thank you, Buzz. Mike, you got one more for me.
All right. This is a tough one because normally we would say, what member of the family will you say you would like to kill the most? But I kind of know the answer to that, and he kind of knows the
either
answer.
Either my mom
to that.
Or my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Here would be a good one, though.
All right. You're so helpful. Yes. What would it be?
Well, you know, if I could have sex with anybody in our immediate family.
Yes. If you could have sex, but I'm going to put it to you. If Jim could have sex...
He'd have the same answer as me.
He would have the same answer. Anybody in your family?
My cousin Cindy.
Cousin Cindy.
Right. She was a looker. I'm telling you, she was a looker, she was a cooker, she could have been a hooker.
And on the same count, I'm going to say in the family, who is the biggest pig growing up at family gatherings? Because we need a little extra there.
The biggest, you know? Oh.
And yeah, that could be not necessarily fat, but just ugly.
All of them.
Who is the biggest monster?
All of them. You know, Christ, Aunt Levita. No, not Aunt Levita. I don't want to say that about Aunt Levita. She wasn't a monster. Not Uncle Jack. You know.
Can I modify it?
Yeah.
Who, besides both you and your brother,
yes,
was known as the family embarrassment?
Aunt Lola.
Aunt Lola.
Drunk Aunt Lola.
Okay.
Absolutely. Or hold on.
Oh.
Ha!
Are you changing Aunt Lola?
You can change it.
I'm going to change to my cousin Ronnie.
Cousin Ronnie?
The guy, remember, who taught me how to change the oil in the car?
Okay, cousin Ronnie. Those
he
are the answers.
Straws.
Let me recap here. The worst thing, dumbest thing Jim ever did, started a forest fire, set fire to an entire field. Jim will say that you had 38 regular underpants, not that they would be 38 long, and cousin Cindy, the most doable in the family, cousin Ronnie, the dumbest.
Right.
Come on, dude.
Embarrassing. Yeah. Although, you know, I might want to vote for Jimmy.
Hello.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man.
Here he is now,
hi,
everybody,
Jimmy.
From Wisconsin.
Hey, what's going on?
My real-life brother, Jim.
Jim.
Glad you're on the show. Going to play a game, give you a chance to win some money. But first, how about the excitement in your Wisconsin home? You're laying there in your bed with Marnie, and you turn on a repeat of King of Queens, which is sad to begin with, and then it's me, and you get all excited, because it's
no, I just, I was sitting there, I says, man, I was thinking, that guy looks familiar, and I thought, shit, that's my brother. Marnie says, damn, you're right.
And then
we just started cracking up.
You were like in several scenes, weren't you, in that particular episode?
Yeah,
so if you saw you once, you could go back and check you out again. Was that when Don was the UPS driver?
Yeah.
Right, great dialogue. And Jimmy, what's new up your way?
Not much.
Mm. You know, when we got all that weather that we were supposed to get, like 2 inches of snow, and they were saying we're going to get a blizzard, I called my brother, who said, seriously, the wind chill was something like 15 below. There was drifting snow up to 3 feet. And where were you guys? You were going to the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah, we got, I'd say... In the backyard on a picnic table, we had at least 14 inches. And then it was blowing like crazy. And, temperatures were like 4 degrees out.
Hey, Jimmy.
And we had to go to the grocery store, man. So we got in a blazer and went.
Look what they just found in the back room. They just found a clip from King of Queens.
Oh, fantastic.
Look at 19 that. Seconds of greatness.
Right here. Roll it.
All right, look, Spiro, I'm not going to tell anybody you're gay, okay?
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Hey, Doug.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, man. Okay, there you go.
Gotcha.
You are looking good.
I gotta go somewhere.
Not gay.
That was my big line. You are looking good. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Is that the one you saw, Jimmy?
Hey, Don was on the payphone in the UPS office.
That's the line.
Yep,
that's
it.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Hey, Marnie just walked in. You want to talk to her about it?
Sure, put her on.
Hold on.
Marnie, say hi.
Has Marnie been on the show since?
Yeah, I think Marnie has been on the show.
Recently. I mean, when Jimmy got married a year ago.
Hello.
Hey, Marnie.
Hi, Marnie.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening? How is my brother treating you now that you've been married about a year?
Oh, he's still the same. It's okay.
Good. Is it wedded bliss, Marnie?
I wouldn't use the word bliss, but
it's wedded.
Pretty decent.
Pretty decent.
Pretty decent. That's a pretty good review for him.
On a scale of 1 to 10, please be assigning a number grade to your first year of marriage to my brother.
7.
7.
Hey, that's good, Marnie.
That's
why not?
Do you still share common interests?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how about me, Mr. Big Shot on King of Queens, huh?
We saw it up the other night. Good thing it was on TiVo.
Impressed, huh?
We could rewind and watch it a couple times.
Oh, good.
All right, I got the feeling you're working me, Marnie.
The nuances.
Say that again?
Never mind. Nice talking to you, Marnie. Would you put Jimmy back on?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, thanks, bye.
It's Marnie.
There she is.
That's how Marnie. Are you? I give him a 7.
Above average.
Lovely wife.
Hey, you got a 7. That's not bad, Jimmy.
What do you give Marnie on a scale of 1 to 10? Please to be giving Marnie a number grade as to her performance as your wife.
Nine.
A 9?
Oh, much higher grade.
He isn't the greatest.
He knew he wasn't going to throw that 10 out there.
Well, smart.
The greatest. Even though that's the politically correct thing to do.
All right, Jimmy, now, we're going to be playing for prizes. You can actually win prizes. We play a game on the show sometimes called It's All Relative.
It's All Relative.
And I've never played the game with you, as far as I can remember. Maybe we have. I don't remember this. There are how many questions, Mike? 4
We've
more.
Got 3 questions with a bonus question, so a total of 4. We asked Don 3 questions. Jimmy, if you can match Don's answers, all of Don's answers, including the bonus, you're going to receive
a prize.
A prize.
We'll really give you a prize.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's play the game, Mike.
All right, here we go. You ready, Jimmy?
Sure.
All right, Jimmy, we asked Don, what is the dumbest thing growing up that you ever did?
I came up with this one in a heartbeat, Jimmy.
What's the dumbest thing I ever did?
What is the dumbest thing you, Jim Source, ever did?
Come on now, don't close
it. I lit the trash can on fire in the boys' bathroom.
Negative.
Oh, is that the same fire, Don?
Fire.
No, it was a different fire, Mike.
It was a different fire.
How many fires did you set?
What was Don's answer?
Don said you set fire to an entire field.
Don't you remember when we lived in that house in Upper Marlboro? That brick house? And we went out, a brick
house.
We were out in the backyard playing with matches, and the whole freaking, this big field just all of a sudden went up in flames. And we ran away.
I kind of remember something like that.
Yeah. Oh, he blocked the memory.
Okay, well, it was good true. Because I remember we lied our asses off to Dad. What's going on out there? I don't know.
Meanwhile, the whole field is burning, jeopardizing the entire neighborhood.
You could see black smoke. All right, got that one wrong.
Buzz, go ahead with question number two.
The second question, Jim, is what size underwear would you guess your brother wears?
Sexy.
38.
Hey. Wow. Winner.
Winner.
Congratulations.
Okay, now you're on a roll. Let's
all right,
for two in a row.
Here's question number three, Jim. We asked Don, who is the family member you and Don would most like to do?
If you could have sex with any member of our family.
And there weren't any societal restrictions on that type of behavior. You could actually have sex with a family member. What family member would it be?
Lola.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Don said cousin Cindy.
Oh, that was all I thought about that.
Yeah.
I should have asked if it was past or present.
Yeah.
Because I believe Aunt Lola's
dead.
A shovel, right?
Yes, yeah. Aunt Lola's dead. Right. Aunt Lola's the one that kissed me.
Yes.
On Christmas Eve in Grandma's closet.
Mm-hmm. You know, kind of. I've known that story over the years so well. It's kind of neat that he says, Aunt Lola.
Everybody's fan.
It kind of makes your story all the better now when we hear that.
Boozy, Judy Carn-looking Aunt Lola.
We have a bonus question for you.
Jimmy,
are you ready?
Do you remember the time that we were in the pool, at some pool somewhere, and somebody pulled off Cousin Cindy's top? We had to be like 13. You had to be like 11. I was about 13. It was the single greatest thing I'd seen in my life up to that point.
I'm not.
My cousin Cindy.
Wow. Cousin Cindy.
Man.
All right, are you ready for your bonus question, Jimmy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here we go. All right. Right after we asked who was the family member you guys would most like to do, we asked Don, who is the family member you would most consider an embarrassment?
Now, I'm going to give you a hint. No, I can't give you a hint.
You can't give hints? No.
Give me a lifeline.
You can't have a lifeline. Come on.
I will give you a lifeline just so we can pick another family member. It is not any family member that has been mentioned.
So it's not Aunt Lola. I had to dumb it down for him. I had to jimmy it down for him.
Who's the most embarrassing family member?
And I didn't say you.
It's not you.
Can I give him a hint?
That's so true.
Think stupid. Think really stupid. Really dumb stupid.
Ron.
Cousin Ronnie.
Got it.
Here's the correct answer. Ron.
Cousin Ronnie.
And that is all you had to say for the hint, and I got it.
That's 2 out of 4 is what you got there.
So what did he get right? What did he get wrong?
He did not get that he set the fire to an entire field. He did get 38, your underpants, which I find disturbing. And he did not get Cousin Cindy. He guessed Auntie Lola. And he picked right up with the hint on Cousin Ronnie.
Cousin Ronnie.
Being the dumbest and most embarrassing family member.
All right, well, Jimmy, I'll give you something. I think it's like against the rules if I legally give you something. But we'll send you a WJFK prize pack.
Okay.
And let's see.
You're great.
Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
I don't even know who's playing.
No idea.
Good for you.
Who do you like, Atlanta or Pittsburgh?
Try Atlanta.
Atlanta.
There you go.
Atlanta.
Yeah,
we're with you on that.
Atlanta. I think
we all agree.
Super Bowl. Any thoughts about Oscar? Who does Oscar like this year?
I have no clue.
And could you probably tell us,
irrelevant.
Even though it's a recent thing, could you tell us the major world figure who has just taken ill?
Oh, that's
what
great.
About?
That's breaking news.
That's pretty fresh. That's breaking news. Maybe we'll get lucky.
What about it?
Huh?
I didn't understand what you said.
Breaking news. There's a major world figure who has just gone into the hospital. They fear he might be...
John Paul.
Hey!
Look at this.
How about that? He ought to get extra credit for that.
He gets the CNN.
Way to go.
How about Johnny Carson? Do you have any memories? Do you have any memories of Johnny?
Yeah.
Oh, just the one with
we had to delete that out.
Yeah.
Yes, you are correct.
A great memory.
Had to delete that.
You can't say that word pussycat anymore on the show, Jimmy.
Oh, why not? Yeah.
But you know what, Jimmy? That's a hell of a memory from Johnny Carson.
Yeah. One of the Gabor sisters was on, and Johnny said something about her cat.
Absolutely,
I believe.
You know, I don't think any pundit has brought up that memory.
Jimmy
might have been the first.
And it was a great moment from The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Might have been lost without Jim.
Who do you like in NASCAR this year, Jimmy?
Who I always like, Jeff Gordon.
Of course, that's right. Fag. Fans?
No, don't even say that.
Gordon.
When's the season start up again, Jimmy?
Sometime in February, right?
February, all right. That's the Daytona 500, right?
Any hunting going on at this time?
No.
Ice fishing?
Nope.
Could you mention by name, that's what I wanted to say, the first name of the woman that married Donald Trump?
I know what her name is. Ivana.
Ivana, that is correct. That would have been my guess.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Right. What does on Law & Order, what does SUV stand for?
Oh, I have no clue. I don't want to.
Sorry, SVU. SVU.
SVU.
Law & Order. What does CSI stand for?
I have no idea.
Isn't it sad that I'm doing this to my own brother? I'm like, I'm not doing
this. Sad.
I'm not doing this to some moron that's just calling the show.
Right.
I'm doing this to my moron brother.
I'd like to know how many Americans know either SVU
you
or CSI.
Them.
Yeah, that'd be a good question for
they
Joe.
They just know it's a good show. Good show.
What does ABC stand for?
American Broadcasting Company.
Excellent.
How about NBC?
National Broadcasting Company.
How about CBS?
Central Broadcasting Company.
You're so right.
How about ER?
ER? What about it?
What does it stand for?
I have no clue.
No one does.
Jimmy, hold on. You don't know what ER stands for?
Emergency something rescue.
Emergency rescue.
Emergency room.
Very good.
Hey, emergency room, he got it.
You're too great. All right.
I just woke up.
But you knew about the Pope.
Dude, it's 6:18.
Hey, give him credit. He knew about that breaking news, the Pope.
He did.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I love you. You're a mess. You're the greatest, and I'll talk to you this weekend.
Okay, dude.
Hey, and listen.
Have a good one.
For God's sakes, it's Philadelphia and New England. How can you be my brother and not know that?
I don't watch football.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
I don't watch football.
Whenever it was, a couple weeks ago, he calls me up and he goes, hey, dude, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching the games. He's like, I didn't even know they were on. who's playing?
He does not share your interest in everything.
I respect you for that, Jim.
Yeah, Buzz doesn't watch football either.
No.
Jimmy, who's number five for the Philadelphia Eagles?
I have no idea.
Buzz, who's number five for the Eagles?
Well, I don't know either.
Well, Jimmy, what number does Terrell Owens wear?
I have no idea.
Why don't you guess?
Number 22.
Oh, no, you're not even close, Buzz.
I guess 30.
The answers were Donovan McNabb and number 81.
81.
Who's the name of the fat coach of the Eagles, Jimmy?
Joe Theismann.
No.
Buzz?
I've forgotten his name. I'll know it as soon as I hear it.
The correct answer was Andy Reid.
And one more. Reed. Who is the quarterback, Jimmy, of the New England Patriots? Jimmy?
I have no idea.
Buzz, do you have any idea?
I have no idea either.
The correct answer was Tom Brady.
And right now, all over the country, men are pounding their fists on the dashboard.
No.
How can you not know Tom Brady?
Just that limited number of men who watch NFL football.
Yeah, that limited number.
Didn't Tom Brady filter through your fantasy system this year?
Buzz?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Hey, he's got a newscast.
I've moved on to cartoon.
Buzz doesn't remember. All right, dude, I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, have a good one.
All right. Oh, parting words of wisdom, please, Jimmy.
Stay warm.
Stay warm.
Bye, right, Jimmy.
All right, see ya.
Bye, Dan.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That was a good family feud.
There he is, my real-life brother, Jim.
Oh, Ron. A new world where only the radio was strictly forbidden.
Cousin Ronnie.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
Me.
He made it up.
Here's number 30.
Uh-huh.
Buzz Burbank. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments today?
The case against Michael Jackson was brought by the accuser's mother, Janet. Janet Jackson.
Oh. You're crazy like that.
Isn't that wacky? Wait till you hear.
You're crazy.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
I don't reckon it'll happen again for months and months and months. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. www.donandmikewebsite.com. Something about Dennis Franz will be on there today. He was a good guest. Oh, and also, on the website, we'll have the updated link from yesterday to get you right to that Crispin Glover movie trailer.
Oh, yes, the disturbing one.
Because the link we had up was closed down shortly after we went on the air yesterday.
Oh, really? Because of the content of it, probably?
I don't know, but anyway, there's another link, so it's on our website. And it's Buzz Girdley right now. Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
Oh, Buzz brought to us by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Now here is my main man, 00, Buzz.
My man, Don and Mike. Hey, the truth is stranger than fiction, and the truth is Michael Jackson is being taken to court by Janet Jackson.
Years ago, I allowed a family to visit and spend some disgusting time in Neverland.
not the singer's singing sister, but the mother of Michael's latest child molestation accuser. Her name is also Janet, and since she married a guy named Jackson, she's now
Janet
Jackson.
She married Randy.
The trial hasn't even started, and already we're entertained.
I hope Your Majesty is okay.
We've now learned her name and seen her face and learned the names of her children, including the alleged victim, Gavin Arvizo, who's 15 now.
Arvizo.
Anyway, the kid's mom, Janet Jackson, now says she was pressured into showing support for Michael when a Jacko documentary was filmed just a few years ago.
Years ago, I allowed a family to visit and spend some disgusting time in Neverland.
That's the best funny edit on that show.
That is.
Last week, President Bush said the U.S. would pull its troops out of Iraq if that's what Iraq's new democratic government really wants.
What do they say, Buzz?
Today, Iraq's current president asked American troops to stay. He says it would be, quote, complete nonsense to ask foreign troops to leave now. Some can maybe go at the end of the year.
Who's the Iraqi president?
President Ghazi al-Yuwair.
It's not Dick Gephardt?
No.
Ghazi al-Yuwair?
Ghazi al-Yuwair.
All-Yuwair. All the pants you wear.
All you can wear.
Sounds like an ad for like Sensations down at the beach, right?
All-Yuwair.
All-Yuwair.
He says,
and I'm the Pope.
He says,
BBW and a nice big party.
He says the U.S. has made some mistakes in Iraq, but that on the whole, quote, it was worth it.
Who says this? President Ghazi, all you can eat?
All you wear.
Okay.
Yeah. The remarks come as Iraqi officials began the final count of the votes cast in Sunday's election.
You know, it is without question the most confusing thing to follow in the news.
Yeah.
You don't know what to read. You don't know what, I mean, the different sections of the country, the pictures of people dancing, and then, you know, at the same time, they're still beheading people over there.
And they've got a president, I've never heard of this guy, all you can eat yet. They're electing somebody new.
Right.
But we won't know that for
several days, right?
A couple of days.
Are they electing a president?
I don't even know that president was one of the offices up for grabs this time. I think these were like
parliament,
like that. Yeah, an announcement of the results.
Red light, flashlight, neon light.
Parliament. They're in the final count of that vote now.
You know, who really cares about Iraq? Seriously, who gives? I mean, unless you've got loved ones, who unfortunately are there.
Yeah, the only people that should care are the people that are over there getting their ass shot off.
Who gives a rat's ass? Last night I'm listening to the Pinko. Chris Core.
Right.
Phony on WMAL.
He's a right winger, isn't he?
Yeah, the truth about this guy is that he's a Democrat, but he works on a station that's changed its format to be all right wing.
It's amazing. His eyes look both right and left.
Oh, that's right. Keep forgetting you think he's crossing.
I know he is.
Anyway, it's either last night, it had to be last night because last night was Monday night. I'm hunching around and he says, I don't know about you, but I was so fascinated with this Iraqi election. I went to bed on Saturday night, watched the coverage, woke up on Sunday morning. It was so exciting to see these Iraqis. Like, good God, you moron, with your yellow Thunderbird, you dork. You don't care about Iraq. Nobody in this country cares about Iraq.
That's the company line.
You know what Iraq is? Iraq is a hemorrhoid on the United States ass. Nobody cares if they have freedom over there.
You don't have a little map with red provinces and blue provinces?
No, I don't. As the rascals say, all around all the world, everybody wants to be free. Here's the thing. Let them be free on their own.
Yeah. And good luck to you.
I'm tired of helping them.
You see, you wouldn't do any exit polling over there.
Just exiting.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Right, correct.
President Bush is finally doing something veterans groups in Congress have wanted him to do for quite a while.
But can you imagine what a phony, though?
What?
If Chris Gore really, I'm so excited by this. I've got to watch this before I go to bed. Then when I get up on Sunday morning, I've got to see the result.
What? He did what he does every weekend, picking and eating. That's all he did.
Big winner.
The president has
picked his little blonde nose.
President's proposed a major increase in the death benefit.
And then goes out and wipes it on the dashboard of his canary yellow Thunderbird.
Hey, that's almost a match.
President Bush has proposed a major increase in the death benefits the government pays for the families of soldiers killed in combat, and I do mean a major increase. The payout would go from $12,420 to $250,000. $150,000 of that would come from a government life insurance policy.
I was so excited to see that because it's really democracy in action. It's what the Bush administration has talked about. Made me proud to be, oh, God. No. What you want to do? I mean, I know that when you're doing a radio show, you're supposed to elicit a response from somebody.
Right.
But I don't count because I'm in the business, and I know.
You know he's lying.
Yeah, I know the guy's a Democrat. I know he is. I know he wasn't watching Iraq on television. He was watching Lady and the Tramp. He loves the scene where they share the piece of spaghetti
and eating tater tots with his hands.
That was the sixth most romantic film scene, by the way.
While driving around in his, I'm not kidding about his yellow canary Thunderbird.
The current vehicle?
Yeah.
It was a great car.
Now that's good because it's recent.
The death benefits for soldiers' families would be retroactive for all the soldiers killed in Iraq and Afghanistan since we began there. It's part of the budget the president's proposing to Congress next week.
Well, you know, I'm glad they are taking care of the families, especially, you know, when you've got a mother that's got some kids and stuff, but you know, if it's just an 18-year-old, I don't know, you know, a 60-year-old parent who's getting $250,000, I don't know if that's going to take the sting away from losing your kid.
No, nothing would. From our Homeland Insecurity Department, some folks in Connecticut were terrified today when the emergency alert system told them to evacuate. A computer glitch caused several cable systems to air the "this is an actual emergency" message instead of the weekly test. The
idiots.
State quickly responded to correct the mistake, assuring people there was no emergency. So all's well that ends well, but see also Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Here they are. Working hard.
Oh. Don't say hey to him.
Starting next year. Yeah, no, it makes him angry, Charlie.
Joe.
Yeah.
Starting next year, Medicare.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Joe. God, what am I, a retard?
That's right. Starting next year, Medicare is going to cover Viagra and Cialis and Levitra. New prescription benefits announced this week will include sexual performance drugs as well.
Don, baby, how's it going?
As well as medicine for high blood pressure and
Don, baby, how's it going?
And heart disease.
Here we go with more news for the newsman.
Conservatives hate this from a spending standpoint, but experts say the government's just doing what other health care plans already do. The Veterans Administration already doles out the magic little pills at about half their drugstore prescription price.
Never a tremor of doubt in my mind.
Never a tremor.
Really?
I beg your pardon?
What?
Almost.
Almost what, Jack? You take Viagra?
One of the finest men I've ever known.
Buzz? Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. What was the question?
The question is, do you take Viagra?
I was quivering and shaking.
That's a yes.
But do you take Viagra?
I can't hear you.
Do you take Viagra?
Well,
yeah. Yeah. All right.
There it is.
Here's the answer.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah. Do you take Viagra?
It's the only thing that I saw.
It's the only thing you saw, Viagra?
Another brand.
You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You like Viagra, right? What do you think about Snyder making people buy their Redskins ticket with the Redskins credit card?
Can't hear a word you say.
No. Do you take Viagra?
A burning, intense. intensive desire.
He must have.
I'm not here.
That's true.
This brings us to something that happened recently in Vancouver. People.
This burning, unquenchable desire.
People are not as liberal in their views in Penticton, Vancouver, as they are in, say, Toronto. So they didn't take kindly to the new statue at the traffic circle down by the marina, an anatomically correct statue of a nude man, full frontal. And now the unthinkable has happened. Someone has removed the anatomically correct part with a hammer. Smashed it right off the guy.
Wow.
The mayor doesn't. The word was unavoidable. I think I should get a break on the alarm. It wasn't a mallet, Rob. It was a hammer. Hammer. Anyway, the mayor doesn't care about this vandalism.
We just got a potted buzz down now. He seems to be ignoring the fact that he turned on this alarm.
Yes, the terrible alarm.
There you go. You're back on now,
yeah,
Buzz.
Yeah, do we have a switch for the alarm? Can we turn off the alarm now? Something that goes click, click.
Well, you started this.
Yeah, I did, but I can't reach the switch here. Can you reach it for me?
Yes, I can.
Would you be so kind?
But the thing is he said the word so many times.
He said it more than once.
I did. I was.
Plus, you're gonna have to. This is the opposite. This is opposite time.
Rema.
No, I don't need it that way. If you want the switch, put it backwards.
You're gonna say, keep playing the song.
Can you just say hammer backwards?
Yeah, three times.
Get it work.
I get jokes. Ooh. See, Mike wanted you to say, don't turn it off.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you instead said hammer backwards.
Rema.
And I just said it again.
Click.
Mayor doesn't care about the vandalism of the statue. He didn't like the naked guy either. Quoting him,
right.
Well, what did you expect putting a nude statue up in Penticton? The artist says it's like telling a rape victim she shouldn't have worn a miniskirt. He suggests the next statue be a concrete block with a fence around it.
I'll drink to that.
Whoa, here's one we didn't see coming.
What's that?
When you ask hormonally raging teenagers not to have sex, they don't listen. The findings of an expensive government study when we come back.
What's a hormone?
Please, don't hit me. Don't hit me.
Yeah, and don't use like a Rema.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Even tastier than Chef Boyardee. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Now here's Guy Burnley. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. In Texas, they had a state-run high school abstinence education program modeled...
Abstinence. Oh, that means...
No sex.
Right, no sex.
That's the show, Don, that's coming up soon, right?
The no sex show?
Yes, the abstinence...
No!
The absinthe show.
The absinthe. Yes.
Coming soon. Yeah. Tasty. Sexy.
So
sexy. No sex.
They tried preaching no sex to high school students in Texas based on a proposal by the president. And at the end of the study that they've just done, they've discovered that the kids involved in that program are more sexually active than they were before the program.
So you're saying it was like a backwards result?
Very much so, yes.
Behind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kind of a backdoor thing.
Yeah. I'm out of backwards spelling. Researchers at Texas A&M say this doesn't mean... Researchers at Texas A&M say that doesn't mean the program made the adolescents randier, just that they continued to develop as teenagers do.
When you tell them no, it's the forbidden fruit.
That's right. The federal government is spending $131 million this year on abstinence education programs, a $30 million increase over last year. Quoting one official, you do the best you can with what you know, which is apparently kind of how the kids see it. In sports, say what you will about Eagles fans, and you're right, but they'd mortgage the house to support their team.
Oh, this is great.
Really,
talk about idiots. Pleased to be listening to this. This was on ESPN.
Kevin O'Donohue bought a $4,000 Super Bowl package after applying for a home equity line of credit.
Hold on a second.
Fly, Eagles, fly! On a road to
Super Bowl fever. Listen to this.
E-L-G-S-Eagles!
Right.
In other words, he put up his house as collateral for the loan. Mortgage bankers in Philly and South Jersey say Kevin is not the only one. And finally, in Germany, an unemployed waitress...
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
Waitress out of work.
Never forget.
She's been told that because she turned down a job as a hooker... She's losing her unemployment benefits.
Well,
Prostitution was just legalized in Germany a little over 2 years ago, and in the course of that, whorehouse owners got access to the database of job seekers.
Sure. Aye.
This means any woman who loses her job in Germany legally has to take a job offer from a pimp or lose her unemployment check.
That's a wonderful law.
Back in the USA, meanwhile, where prostitution's still illegal in most states, a senior Florida state attorney general got mugged by a hooker. This John, whose real name is John, was hit with pepper spray and mugged when the two-girl show arrived at his motel room. He was beaten, and the women took $200, which is about what some guys will pay for that. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
How would you know that, Buzz?
No!
We got to go. Thank you to Dennis Franz. And happy birthday, Beth Ann. We'll be back with a new episode tomorrow. Please stay tuned for Ron and Fez.
All right.
Coming up next on JFK. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
Never saw him eat.
What?
Never saw Johnny eat.
You have to go home and see your black-faced child. Ass father.
Lick the plank.
Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.